Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Crab Feast, boat that ass. Good to touch your pitches, Jay Larson.
Baby.
Good
man, we rose,
you.
Baby.
That felt good.
We were rising.
You should see his shoulder shake.
I see a bad moon rising. Remember Bad Moon Rising? And the Falcons, baby.
I remember Andre.
What's up, everybody? Great to be here. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. That's where you can find me. Also on the YouTube. Wanted to say, if anyone is out there and hasn't checked out the special, it's available at jlarsoncomedy.com. Those of you who have checked it out, and I appreciate you taking a look at it. And a lot of you have shared with me over Facebook or Twitter or email, some of you. And I just want to say thank you so much for your love and support. It means a lot. April 26th to 28th, I'll be at Laugh Boston in Boston. And that's it. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. I've been telling you guys about the Crab Feast survey. You've been hitting me up. Thank you for taking that. Some of you sounds like you got to turn your ad blocker off, play. You're going to hear me say this on the show for the next couple months. We're taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate.
Survey says!
It will help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to this show. So please take a few minutes and visit our website at thecrabfeast.com. You'll find the listener survey link right on the homepage at the top right, and you can complete the survey anonymously. So thank you for doing that.
But we're going to tell everyone what you said.
We're going to tell everybody what you said. There's a lot of places you can catch the Crab Feast, and we are on Spotify. We've been telling you guys, I don't know if you know that the Crab Feast is now available on Spotify, but it is. Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, and smart speaker. Open the app on mobile or desktop, click on the browse channel, and then click on the podcast section, y'all. Take us with you wherever you go, thanks to Spotify. And the Spotify link is on thecrabfeast.com as well as our merch. And make sure you follow us, guys, Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
Proud to have this week's sponsor with us again, Brooke Linen. I've talked about them before. We've talked about them. I heard of Brooke Linen before we started doing ads with them and had got their sheets, and they're the best sheets we've ever had. And once I knew that we were going to get them as a sponsorship, I was so stoked because I just love them. So it's at brooklinen.com. If you've never been over there, the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever had with no big markup. It's a husband and wife team that came together and they decided, hey, how about we give the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials with no crazy prices? So there's no unnecessary markups or fees, whereas most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. And I'll be honest with you, I've always been a sheet guy. Like, I like sheets.
I've said that about you for years.
You know what I mean? Soaps, yeah. And sheets, man.
Yeah.
Soaps and sheets. And I just never knew. You're always talking about thread count, Egyptian. You don't know what any. You just don't know.
No
idea. I have no clue. I just know, like, when you go to a nice hotel, you're like, man, these sheets are so comfy. I want these at home. And that's what it feels like when we got the Brooke Linen sheets. And, like, they tell it. I mean, like, one-third of your life is spent sleeping in a bed. Okay? You're going to have a better experience daily if you start getting better sleep with better sheets. So do yourself a favor and upgrade your nightly routine and help yourself feel more well rested every day. Brooke Linen sheets were named the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Versatile colors and pattern, that's another thing. You can get one type of pattern for your like mattress cover sheet, and then have other your top sheet be a different pattern, and then have your pillows match the butt, whatever you want to do, you can mix and match. So Brooke Linen has an exclusive offer just for our listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code CRAB at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code CRAB at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, best sheets I've ever had. And I'll tell you right now, Ryan, this might be one of the best guests we've ever had. We're excited to have her on. First time on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Brittany Furlan!
Brittany Furlan!
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thanks, guys. Yay.
Thank you for being here.
I was kind of bummed because there's no crab legs here.
I know.
Well, I thought, I'm like, it's a Crab Feast. Oh, fuck yeah. I brought my own melted butter. I was all ready. Nope, you guys got nothing.
Where did you melt that butter?
I'm at my Calabasas home.
You had it like on the engine driving here?
Yeah, I just kept it on the engine on my way here. Yeah.
First of all, thank you so much for being here. This is long overdue. You and I have known each other for quite some time, actually. And I can't remember how many years it's been now, but it's been quite a ride, and we're going to get into that.
Quite a ride? That
it's been quite a ride for her. Yeah. I mean, my shit's been pretty... Yeah.
No!
Your pretty steady pipe.
Listen, it's been more of a walk than a ride.
It's been more of a rickshaw than it has any.
Orthopedic shoes. It's more of a saunter.
Wear orthopedic shoes?
Orthopedic.
What does that mean?
Man, I have some Adidas on, man. Got out of those New Balance.
Oh, my
God. I'm an Adidas back in Adidas bounce.
Well, be careful, man. Make sure that arch is being supported.
It's not. Then no shoe can support this arch. I got to get a neutral shoe. I got them all on. Falling apart right in front of your eyes.
I have flat feet. That's really weird.
Before we get into all of this, Flatfoot Brittany Furlan, will you please plug whatever you want, your social media, all that stuff?
It's just at Brittany Furlan on all social media, Twitter, MySpace, Instagram,
the space,
LinkedIn, you know, whatever you want to friend me on, farmersonly.com.
You on Pinterest?
Yeah, Pinterest, all that shit. Actually, not on Pinterest.
Oh.
That's the only thing I couldn't get on.
Yeah?
It wouldn't let you?
No, I
was just afraid I'd pin some weird shit to my board and it'd be like, oh, cute, this is pretty. Okay, what's up with that guy with his fucking asshole pierced together? That's weird. You know, it just would get weird.
What is she into?
Yeah, it would be weird, you know.
Are you on Snapchat?
I am on Snapchat, at Brittany Furlan on Snapchat. Yeah, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, all the good stuff. And then.
Do you ever do. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're going to pitch one more thing, and I want to wait because mine's a question. Yours is.
There's a film at South By right now.
That's right, yeah.
Called The Unicorn, directed by Robert Schwartzman. I'm in that. And then there's a movie at Tribeca. This year that I'm in called An American Meme.
Good.
And it's all
you.
About life and social media and how depressing it is and how everyone secretly wants to kill themselves. So yeah, it's great.
That sounds
that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Tribeca and South By. That's two great places to be.
Yeah.
And now the Crab Feast. That's the trio
right there.
You just hit the creme de la creme.
Crab de la
I wasn't
creme,
excited until I knew I was doing this, so.
Do you do voiceover? Because your voice is like crazy.
I would love, I mean, I'm at WME and Brittany Myers, you know, gets me out, but not enough, Brittany Myers.
You know what?
I'm going to send this over to you.
Say it to her face.
Say it to her face.
Brittany Myers! Get out of here, girl.
Get your ass in here.
Can you imagine? I cannot believe I haven't booked any voiceover jobs. I'm so bummed. Like, why not?
You can do, I mean, do you turn into a character when you do it, or do you just do this voice?
I can do any voice. Like, literally any voice.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Give us a mouse.
I'm a mouse.
Give us an angry mouse.
I want my cheese. Where's my fucking cheese?
Give me a fucking 65-year-old waitress with bad feet, the cigarette addiction that still works a 24-hour diner from the 2 a.m. to the 7 a.m. shift.
Okay, listen, kid. I've been here since 2 a.m., okay? It's 7 a.m., and I need to know what goddamn order you want. Do you want some fucking eggs? Okay, it comes with a side salad. Or do you want the fruit pancakes? The fruit pancakes are good. They're a little old, but they're good,
fruit
okay?
Pancakes.
That's true.
I'm good, and I'm old. So trust me, the fruit pancakes are better. Get the fruit pancakes.
Somebody should give you the gig.
No, give me the gig. Give me the gig. This is okay, though.
We have so much to cover, and I really don't know where to begin.
You can cut all that voiceover out, too.
We're going to leave it all.
That's
awesome.
I book a job offer. They're like, we really like the fruit pancakes gig. That was
what
great.
If they dropped you because of that?
Oh, my God. I would not be surprised. I have so much.
That fruit pancakes. I'll be honest with you, Britt.
Like, she really went on a weird take with that. Yeah. It's bad.
All right. So... Well, let's just talk about how I first met you. I mean, I met you through Josh Adam Myers,
yep.
who is
Unknown Theater.
Unknown Theater.
Back in the day.
Who's a fan favorite here on the Crab Feast.
I know.
And not one of my favorites at all.
Not one really? Of Jay's favorites.
Yeah.
Fan.
Oh, God.
Fan
favorite. Fan, yeah, fan
not
favorites.
Like Josh?
One of the worst guests we have.
Really?
No, I just, why? I just do this to Josh.
Because he has that like crotchety,
oh,
like,
come on, Jay.
He's done a lot of drugs voice.
Yeah, let's hear your Josh Adam Myers.
Josh Adam Myers. Yeah, Jay, I used to do a lot of painkillers, but now I'm good. I'm straight. I'm doing great. Yeah, like, he's very like,
that's
Josh.
Actually,
like,
I thought he was here
man.
For a second.
He's like, I'm screwed.
Nah, I love Josh.
But you guys were dating when I met you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we used to just hang out. We'd have fun. And then you just blew up into the top. I mean, is it Viner? Is that the right word?
Ew, I know. And I'll never live
it
down.
Is that right, though?
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's like still.
You blew up into the top Viner on Vine at one point. You went from Brittany to...
Brittany, zero followers, zero friends.
Yeah,
not even
on the fucking app.
My own dogs like didn't even like me. Dog like everything was terrible.
I would sit next to you when you weren't on that app.
Yeah.
And then you went to how many million?
10 million.
God damn, man.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It was crazy.
That's hard work. It's good for you.
Can I ask you this, though? Before Vine and before like then Instagram, like how were you getting a place to put all your creativity out there? Like, what were you doing?
I didn't really have a great place. I mean, I did some shows. I did some improv comedy shows. Like, that one was on E! It was, like, called Reality Hell. It was, like, a prank comedy show. I was trying to do, like, the SNL route. And I was doing acting, and I was kind of struggling. I was making sketches with friends. But I was always doing characters and kind of always being weird.
Yeah.
But it was more like I was just performing, like, for my boyfriends and dogs who were always threatening me. They're like, I could. They're like, can you suck my dick without pretending you're a 62-year-old woman who just threw her back out? I'm like, no, it's a really good character.
That's so funny. So when Vine showed up, you were like, oh,
I was like, this
fuck.
Is great. Wow. Like, I was such a fucking cartoon already. He was like, okay, good. Put all the chaotic cartoon energy into that. And I was like, no problem. Like, fucking freaked out on it.
Yeah.
I was doing like 10 videos a day when I first
started. Yeah, you were.
I couldn't get enough.
And yours was scripted.
I would write them out.
Yeah,
I would
they weren't
write
just
them,
like,
and then
hey,
I would do
it's
them.
Me doing the.
Some people would get on Vine and just, like, they would just do it in the moment, but I would write mine out, then I would do them. Some people were like, that's really sad because they were terrible. Some of them were terrible. Like, she wrote that.
These were produced?
Yeah. She wrote that piece of shit. Damn. But no, they were fun in the beginning. It was so fun because it was just such a great outlet. And I wasn't technically savvy, and it was so easy to use. Like, I didn't know how to like film a video and upload it to YouTube. I was so like just not. I just wasn't aware how to do that.
Yeah.
And so when Vine came out, it was so easy. It was like, hold button down. You know, they even did like a tutorial and like did it four times. Hold button down, you know, record, stop if you remove finger from button.
Was this a
stop.
Russian app?
No. Do I sound Russian?
A little bit.
Oh. So basically then it was just so self-explanatory that I was able to do it. And I was like, I'm so proud of myself, you know?
Mom, did you see what I did?
Yeah, right. Oh,
so,
God.
Speaking of mom, did you see what I did? As a father with a daughter who you just FaceTimed with me out in the parking lot. How does your dad take all this stuff? Because you do some pretty wild stuff. And you got some pretty wild stuff going on in your life right now that we'll get to. But how does your dad take that?
Well, he knows I've always been kind of a loose cannon.
Are you?
That's how you're. That's how you're describing it.
That's how I describe my vagina.
A loose cannon.
Are you?
I'm just kidding,
are you
kidding.
An only child?
No, but it feels like it.
It does. It's straight
because
up.
No one in my family talks to me.
No, because my older brother's like he's gone through so many different phases. He's been like into tarot cards. He's been into like rap music. He was into like heavy metal growing up, and that's why I was into like metal and all kinds of stuff because he played guitar and he was into like Pantera and Cannibal Corpse and like. You know, all this crazy
Cannibal Corpse.
Slipknot and like all these like heavy
album.
Bands. And then I was into it. And then I was like, oh, I looked up to him so much. And then he went to college and got into like rap. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then he got out of college and then he started doing techno music. And now he does tarot cards.
He does?
From techno to tarot, I'm playing. I'm still here, man. Making my overhead.
I mean, that sounds like
something. Like YouTube and he'll like send me like readings, like, and it'll be like four paragraphs, and like it's just very crazy. It's very weird.
He's like, you got a half rising on Mercury right now. It's dipping into Pisces.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
The back hooves of Capricorn are crossing over Sagittarius. It's gonna be a good week for you.
It's literally what they're like. He's like, he'll just send me these like cryptic text messages. I'll be like, I saw red in your sign today. He's like, don't wear any red. Don't go near people with red. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is so disturbing. It's so crazy, yeah. But no, so I come from a very unstable environment, so that's kind of how I am the way I am today. Yeah. Very unstable. Yeah, very, very chaotic childhood.
You're.
But so wait, yeah. does your dad have an crazy opinion on sweet. Any of the stuff that you do, or does he?
My
just,
dad watches what I do.
He's been in videos with you. Yes. I've seen it. That's why I want to know about like when he sees the little more risque stuff. What does he say?
He just shakes his head. Like he literally, when Vine first came out, people were coming up to him and going, I've seen your daughter on the internet. I saw your daughter on these web videos. And my dad was like, oh, my God. He thought I was a webcam girl. He was like, oh, my gosh, that's it.
I would be panicking.
He's like, I failed myself.
He's like, now I'm going to have to stop looking at the webcam.
He was like getting ready to kill himself. What and then I was like, Dad, no, it's this comedy app called Vine. He's like, yeah, comedy, I'm sure. And like,
I'm sure. He just that's what I tell your mother.
Yeah, no, they were divorced. It was awful. So then, yes, he just really thought I was doing some webcam girl stuff and was really disturbed. And then I had to send him videos and... He was still disturbed, but he was less disturbed than actually being webcam girl. Yeah.
So you were talking about hidden camera shows. There was a time where you sent me. You were like, "Hey, if you're looking for the hidden, will you go in this audition?" You asked me. I was like, "Yeah, I'll go in this audition."
Yeah, because I think you're so funny. I was you would kill it. It's a show I was doing on Lifetime.
Was it? Yeah,
it was
Prank
Lifetime.
My Mom.
Prank. Vivica A. Fox hosted it. She went from Kill Bill to Prank My Mom on Lifetime. I was like, if that is not career goals,
she was also married to Larry on Curb for a minute there at the end of one of those seasons.
She just takes anything. She's like, just throw it my way.
But you sent me on this audition. So I get there and this lady says, it's an improv thing and it's, you're just going to act. And she's like, okay, you are, you've been caught stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, the person sees you, you're caught red-handed. Go. That was my, and I've been three levels of the groundlings, man. I know to get my who, what, when, where, why out right away. Yeah. I know what yes and is. So I start going into an experience I had where I was in a CVS with a friend of mine when we were in high school, and he got caught. I was with him, but he got caught stealing condoms. And it was a big deal. They brought the fucking, security and all this bullshit in. So I just tapped into that because she said I got caught stealing.
Mm-hmm. He's replacement.
And I
go,
she stops me, rudely stops me. She's like, what are you doing? And I go, what? I said, you told me I was caught stealing, and now I'm dealing with – and she's like, you're a security guard.
What?
I can't even, so hold on.
A security guard that got caught stealing?
She goes, no. She goes, you're a security guard at a boutique on Melrose who's catching people stealing. And I was like, well, you could have fucking told me that. And
so she didn't tell you that?
No. She just said, you're caught stealing. I don't know if there were some, maybe you didn't send me some signs, Britt.
Oh, sure. Yeah, maybe I fucked up. This might all be my fault.
Ryan's like, I don't have a situation from my past that can replicate what you're talking about. So I was just going to go with, like, you I was going to be the victim.
Oh, I shot back at her ass, too. Like, don't fucking shit on me like that. I was
you
like,
just you kicked her in the head.
But I told her, I was like, you didn't tell me anything. You just said this. And she's like, oh, okay, well, just do it this way. And I was like, all right. And then I was like, I didn't get this.
Isn't that the worst when you're on an audition and the casting director you can tell just fucking hates you and you're like, no, I worked really hard on this. And like, yeah, just fucking do it. They just hate you. Like, I've had that experience.
I don't even deal with it anymore. I went to an audition a couple months ago and they were like, you have a 1 o'clock appointment. And I was like, okay. So I got there at 12:45, uh-huh. ready to go. Uh-huh. I sign in and I was like, I had to flip the fucking paper.
Yeah.
And I sign in. I'm like, where are we? And she's like, oh, we're back here. And I was like, I have a 1 o'clock appointment. She's like, we're 3 hours behind.
Oh, I hate
behind.
That. Oh, my
three?
God.
Three,
bro.
What
I said,
the fuck was this for?
Nah. I said, if you don't get me in at one, I'll sit till one. And if you can't get me in, I'm leaving. She's
3 hours.
And then I see Josh Nassar over in the corner. So I go over and start fucking with him.
Well, that's how you know it's a job you don't want. If Josh Nassar's there, okay, yeah, I don't want this job.
You know what? I didn't want to say it, but you could say it to his face.
Nassar!
You guys just have all these people here.
You got all these Joshes in your life. But so I sat and just chill with him, and I was like, when are you? He's like, I don't have anything to do today. This is where I'm going to be. So I went back over that leg. Hey, you can take me off the list. I'm out of here. I had a 1 o'clock appointment. Not sitting here till 4 o'clock.
They were like, damn, no. This guy's ballsy. You got
the
job.
I mean, it's not like SNL.
No,
you know
they
what
were
I mean?
Probably
I
like, okay, what was your name? Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Never.
Next person that wants it. Oh, Williams, you moved up one.
Oh, my God, you guys. That's so funny.
All right. I mean, there's so much. I don't even know where to go.
What do you want to talk about? So when we first met, Did you think I was funny?
Yeah.
You did, honestly?
The thing that made me laugh about you that was I really enjoy making you laugh because you're one of those people. Oh,
I'm like Elaine from Seinfeld. I'll beat the shit out of you. you're lucky this fucking table's here. I'd kick your ass.
She would.
Your wife would be like, what happened?
She also would do the mouth open silent, like, you know, and just fucking bring you a right hook on your arm. I'm like, God. And then I stopped wanting to make her laugh because it fucking hurt.
I was like, are you depressed? What's going on? He used to be so funny. Now he's all fucking sad and shit.
We're just going to jump around. There was a time, it was Halloween.
Oh, God.
And you can follow this with your ghost story, by the way.
Oh, okay, cool. Ooh.
It was Halloween one year, and I hit Brittany up, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, we're not doing...
It was
not
the fourth year, so it was Halloween that one year?
I think so.
And every fourth year?
Every fourth year. And she's like, I'm just hanging out with my friend Heidi, who obviously I'm friends with, we know as well. I was like, oh, dude, what are you guys doing? You want to go to the L.A. Zoo? They do this haunted hayride.
Yeah, I've been through it.
Through that fucking
Love
thing.
It.
I think Gnarly. You might even been there... Ahead I remember. Of us the same
He's like, wait
night.
A minute. I feel really like you worked there. So. Yeah, I know.
Was I supposed to be a guest there or was I working there, guys?
You were the clown for 10 years. I know it. I think I've heard of it.
I remember it was super fun because they go through the old zoo and then the guys come out of the woods and come up to the carriage and shit.
Yep.
But the scariest thing for me at that whole thing was that House of Mirrors because you go through and it wasn't until like almost like an eighth of the. Like three quarters through, you don't see anything. And then three quarters through, you see this girl sitting like in a dress. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, shit. And she's in a mirror. So then you're like bouncing
and
around.
You don't know where she is.
Right.
No. And then next thing you know, she's face to face with you. And you got to go. Ah! You got to get by her. And then you're out of it. And it was the fucking.
It's gnarly.
Whew.
It's gnarly.
That was what we did last. People would come out from behind the mirrors and scream at you and shit, too. But this one was what you just said. So we get in this. Big ass wagon. They
Who's in the wagon? The two of you,
it's
Josh,
me,
and Heidi.
No. It's just the three of us.
Yeah,
just Brittany,
Josh
Heidi,
come.
And me. He wasn't even
Josh
there.
Was probably like fucked up on Percocet somewhere. Josh would come. We're gonna have Josh come, but he was way too sweaty. We're like, you can't come and sweat all over.
It's gonna be too much for everybody.
Oh my god, I love Josh. He's the best.
So. The three of us go, and we get in the big... It's a big wagon, too. You remember? Maybe 8 people, 10 people,
No,
probably.
There's like 400 people. There's No, like 40 people.
No.
Yes, there is.
Maybe,
it's huge.
Maybe 20.
I'm going to go in the middle and say it's about 20.
All right,
20.
Okay,
20.
That's probably fair.
But it is. It's bigger than an 8. It's a big
wagon. It's a big
wagon.
It was big. And you sit around the perimeter mostly. And
I do remember like starting off, you're like, oh, this is nice, man. You're in the woods, fucking in a nice big wagon.
It's like a nice, massy Ferguson tractor or something. Like, blah, 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 blah. It sounds so good, but creepy at night. When that thing's just crawling through.
It goes really slow.
And then they get through, and then you know people start to come out of the
chainsaws
the woods
are going off.
Yeah, and they're touching you and stuff a little bit. And you're like, what the fuck? And you turn around, they're right there in your face. So
you punched
like,
a guy.
Okay,
yeah, it's crazy. I wish I did. No, I didn't. But it's weird because they did touch you.
Yeah,
they touched you.
I didn't think they were allowed to do now, but they did that.
Oh, definitely.
And I was like, wait, that guy just touched me. Like it's kind of weird. I remember being really.
So
like,
we didn't know what you know. We were like, oh, part of the experience.
Yeah.
But then in front of us,
this is creepy.
For a little bit, is this fucking dude walking ahead of us?
Just walking next to the, to
white
the wagon
t-shirt,
in a t-shirt and jeans. Just jeans. More terrifying than any costume because it's a normal dude.
Just some dude.
Just
right.
Some fucking disturbed.
But at this
dude.
Point, we've been touched 5-6 times, so we assume
he's part of the gig.
And it's the creepiest. It's even creepier than them.
You
doing
guys
that.
Are all following this guy.
He's following the tractor. He's walking slowly.
He was first ahead of us, and you can see me out of the tractor.
See him walking ahead.
Has that creepy ass headlight into the woods.
Yeah,
there.
You saw him walking ahead of the tractor. Right. We're like, what's wrong with this guy? We're like,
and
oh, he's part of it. We thought he's part of it. Obviously,
the guy stopped on the tractor first, and then he radioed. We couldn't really hear. We were sitting right near. Behind
him. He radioed.
We were like, oh shit, he's trying to set us
like
up for
something's
something
going
scary.
On. Right. Yeah. That's what we're thinking the whole time. Oh, they're about to bring the fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
this kid
shit.
Looked like, and I know this is tragic to say because there's all this going on right now, but this kid was like, he looked like a school shooter. He was like that guy.
Yeah.
He was creepy. Really creepy. Yeah.
But all you see is the back of him for a while. And then eventually we roll and he disappears. And as we pass by one of the old zoo cages, he's sitting in the pitch black in the back, sitting like Full Metal Jacket. You know what I'm talking about on the wall, like
in a
this.
Plain white t-shirt and jeans, not a costume.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then they fucking radio again. And at this point now, we go by, And it's
great for everyone out there. It's the old part of the zoo that's like condemned, and there are like these old cages.
Yes, abandoned zoo.
Cages.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
That looks fucking crazy. And they're like,
and they're open.
I remember they're
wide
cage
open.
Into like cement buildings. You know what I mean? It's not like,
yes.
They're trippy.
They're
and
so scary.
It's like 10:30, 10:45 at night. It's cold, you know, it's California fucking cold. But
so it's a cool 75.
So we still don't know what's really going on. We just know they keep stopping, and we're like, is this still part of this fucking thing? Because why would that guy go in there and do that? And we stop and look at him with a light and see him, and then we keep going. So we're all, oh,
we're
so
like,
all
he's going to come back with a chainsaw or something. We're like thinking.
Then he floats behind us.
Yep. And then he starts just walking behind
and walking
the wagon.
Behind. We're like, oh,
with
man.
Nothing. No prop.
And then
no
the fucking
fake blood.
Security comes.
Yeah.
Oh, the swoops in, and we're like, what the fuck? And they take that motherfucker out of there. He just had nothing behind his eyes or face. Like,
he looked so
drugged
fucked
out.
Up.
Yeah, he did.
He looked like he was up
that's
to something
rush.
Bad.
That's a rush.
It was. He did look like he was up to
Do
something
Do you remember
bad.
Him walking by the trees and he was kind of slapping
yeah, he
the
trees? Yeah,
he
would slap the trees
was,
and shit.
He was
yeah,
disturbed. I'm
I don't
telling
like
you.
That.
Yeah.
He was disturbed. He had like
shit, no, there's something weird about it. I can see that. Just like him tormented by the tree.
Yeah, like who hits a tree? A tree doesn't do anything. Like tree's the most innocent, beautiful thing. It gives you oxygen. Like, why do you want to hit a tree? Like, what's wrong with you? You know?
It was fucking scary.
He looked scary. Like he would, and he picked up a stick at one point, was just kind of hitting the trees with the stick.
And security, we're like, man, look at those Halloween guys. They look like real security. And whew, swooped in,
yeah,
got his ass.
Don't you feel like we were the only ones that noticed all
only
this was
ones.
Happening?
Absolutely.
Me, Heidi, and Ryan were like the only ones that were like paying attention to this. Everyone else was like,
till security got there.
Yeah, then everyone
then
was like,
what's
oh,
going
what the
on?
Fuck's
we're like, that
on?
Fucking shit's not part of the show, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
It was scary. It was
they
scary.
Said that.
Damn.
It was scary. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to the base, and we went through the, you know.
That would be a fun thing to do every year at Halloween is to try and fit in with the prankers.
you could.
Because you could just get in there and be like, man, we really fucked them up. Like, who the fuck are you, dude?
Yeah.
Right. Like, don't you think you could go to Universal Studios and you get in a costume, just go up to people and go, boo!
Yeah.
And just scare the
you
fuck out of them.
You could literally show up at this hayride in a costume.
Yep.
And just hide.
Sit behind a tree and just jump out and go, boo! And scare the fuck out of people.
You could be, and the thing that scares me now about these hayrides is that I just feel like the way everything's going, it's going to get to that point where somebody goes fucking crazy and has like a real weapon and starts actually stabbing people. And you just have no idea.
I'm sure it's happened before.
You think?
Well, I'm sure people are going to get inspired by you now and do it this year.
Hey, guys, just tag me if you do. Just tag me on the page. At Brittany Parlon. Make sure you mention that tag, okay? Get ideas, okay? If you're going to take my idea.
That was fucking.
But just don't do that. Don't kill people.
And so that made everything else after that much creepier. Going through that house of mirrors, we're like, is this little fucking bitch sitting over here?
Yeah, really. We started questioning everybody.
We were aggressive. And
like the person who's serving us cider. I'm like, is this cider? What is this?
Is
this poison? You trying to kill us? Who are you?
Man, it was. Everything
we got
was
paranoid. Yeah,
that.
We got real paranoid.
Well, that guy did it. I mean, he made your experience that much more fun.
You know, your boy over here, Mr. Street Smarts, we were onto that shit immediately.
Ryan,
like, well,
noticed him before. Anybody.
Yeah.
Ryan was the only one.
I'm like, hey, this motherfucker right here. This guy right
Rye
here.
Rye can spot creepy. He can spot something bad. Rye can spot in
right
seconds.
Yeah.
He had me worked up though in Denver.
What happened?
When we go on the road, we would like to walk back to the just get a night walk, and we had smoked a joint a little bit, and we're walking, and it was this really wide sidewalk that was next to like a 4-lane. I don't know, what would you call it? A business district? It was busy as fucking fast.
Like a freeway?
It's not really a freeway, but it's damn near as busy as one.
Yeah.
Like Route 40,
what I mean? It's not like the 90 or the 405. It's not like something like that, but it
would
be
like Imperial Highway or some shit like that.
Okay.
Like if Ventura or Sunset had fast-moving traffic and there were 6 lanes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we're walking. There's this dude coming from far away, and we both see him, and he's like, "What do we do?" And
first of all, can I just preempt this? He's baked, okay?
Okay,
and
so obviously already paranoid.
I mean,
well,
always. When I walk.
It's a busy street, right?
Yeah,
and there's just a sidewalk there. It's not a highway, but it wasn't not a highway,
right?
And he's going,
"Thank you,
Jay." Jesus Christ!
And the
Jay.
Sidewalks, P.S.
Jay,
it's
where are we
ending,
walking?
It's ending.
Did
into
you feel
the,
like you were going to get hit?
We were going to get hit.
I'm like, Rye, we'll
70
just,
miles an hour.
I go, Rye, we'll just go right here. He's like, God damn it, look at this.
Oh,
he was
my
getting,
God, so
I was,
stressed out.
I was getting stressed out of that. I mean, I felt vulnerable.
So he was
cars going 70 miles an hour.
The guy walking Rye, towards you was 75 with a cane. You're like, who's this fucking suspicious character?
That dude was far away.
Who's this suspicious character?
But this druggie kept kept circling us.
He was a druggie?
There's a guy that was near us.
What made you think he was a druggie?
Because he looked like a fucking druggie.
What does a druggie look like?
Just like Skeletor, emaciated face.
You
know,
like yeah, but I look like Skeletor and no, I don't do drugs anymore.
You don't look like this. He didn't look like you.
But from the side, she does, man.
Look I do. This. I have very bony features. Very bony.
You do look like you could run Grayskull.
He wasn't.
I look like I might play with some heroin, but yeah, I don't.
He didn't circle us. We saw him ahead. Mm-hmm. We were like coming up to him, and then we saw him like, we passed him, and then he passed us, and then he went and talked to two other guys, and then they made a move.
He came back, and remember, he said...
He brought guys with him?
He well...
They were there.
He said, have a nice night. Remember that? Yeah. And we were like, mm-mm.
May I ask and Jay what race said, he was?
He was white.
Oh, okay.
And Jay said, what do you want to do? And I said, we're going to stand right here by this fucking highway, and when this motherfucker comes over, if he tries anything, I'm shoving him in trouble.
That was my move.
Why would you stand there? Why wouldn't you keep walking?
Because he would come out. Because the other two guys were coming that way too.
We thought this was like how they jump people.
Yeah,
like,
we thought
he comes over here behind you. Yeah,
like they were all in on it.
And that's why I tell anybody, if you ever, like Jay's mom tells them to walk in the middle of the street, I say get right near that busy traffic and just take your chances. They're going to kill you. Try to get them out there in front of a car. It's over.
What the hell did they think they were going to steal from you? Your orthopedic
Who
Adidas?
Who cares? I thought they
they were New Balance.
You don't look like, you guys don't look like you're fucking balling over here.
You never know.
They're going to steal your LL Bean wallet.
When you're desperate for cash, you know.
And just... also, when you're drugged out and there's no reasoning with crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they might just come after you to come out. They don't even
go for this watch.
That's my parents' life motto about me.
Watch,
oh, you know shit. What, I mean? What is that?
Don't worry about that.
Let me see that. Cartier. Wow, very feminine. I like that.
That's the first wristwatch ever made.
It was my grandmother's. She passed it along.
Yeah, the Santos 100 was the first wristwatch ever made.
By Cartier?
Anyone.
What does that mean? Anyone?
There was no such thing as a wristwatch.
It was all pocket watch.
It was all pocket watches. And then this dude who was friends with the president and owner of Cartier like 120 years ago used to race planes around the Eiffel Tower.
Whoa.
And he's like, it's kind of a fucking pain in the ass because I can't fucking time myself because I can't get to the watch because I'm working the plane. And the guy who owned Cartier was like, let me make you a watch for your wrist. And it was the Santos 100.
Oh, how convenient. I need a wristwatch because I'm racing my planes around the Eiffel Tower. Right.
Listen, I'm just saying there's a story behind things.
I'm dead. That's amazing.
Back then, there was only two worlds.
Oh, wow.
First and second.
Yeah, that's true. There was.
That is true.
I'm starting to get like that again.
It feels like
Yeah.
Let's hear your ghost story.
You want to hear my ghost story?
I do.
It's not funny, though. It's actually really scary.
It doesn't need to be. I want scary.
That's what we want.
Scared?
Fuck yeah.
Are you guys ready to pee-pee your pants?
Yes.
Okay. I'm from Pennsylvania, for anyone that knows, outside of Philadelphia. And Pennsylvania is just super old, obviously. A lot of stuff started there.
History.
Historical.
Death,
creepy.
War.
It's just very creepy. Pennsylvania's just, you know, they still have streets with cobblestone and all the girls get drunk and fall and walk on their heels. That's a fun.
Fells Point's like that.
That's
still
a fun pastime.
Boston as well, you know, the East Coast.
East Coast.
Towns.
Yeah.
So, all the 13 original colonies. Probably.
So I never really believed in ghosts. I was like, no, that's not really real, you know, because I only had one kind of paranormal experience before this one where I was in my house, and my house was relatively new. It was built like around when I was born, and so it was just, you know, a newer house. And I was in my dad's room, and there was a hallway connecting my dad's room to the bathroom. And in the hallway, we had an ironing board, and I was
built in.
No, it was just set up. So you know, if you had, my dad had suits, he had to iron his suits before he went to work, whatever. So I'm ironing my pants on the ironing board. I used to iron my jeans. That's how much like OCD I had. I was like, these jeans must be straight. So I used to so that was my first mistake, ironing jeans. Okay, so obviously the ghost was probably curious.
I iron like, my sweatpants. He was my like, night pants.
Do you?
Yeah, I iron my night pants.
I feel like it's like do you really?
No.
Oh my God, I totally believe you because I'm that meticulous. I can't have wrinkles or anything like that. So
this, how old are you?
I was probably about like 15. Okay. I was young. And so I was ironing my jeans and there was a mirror on the back of the door, but the door was open. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, I wish the door would shut so I could see what I look like. Cause I was getting ready to go to school and I was ironing my jeans. And then all of a sudden the door, I was just thinking random shit. And the door just slams shut. Okay. And this was a door that was on one of those little peg thingies that, at the bottom of the door in a new house. Like it's
oh,
not
you
a,
mean like a
not
slider?
A, yeah, not like a slider. Like the door could hook and like into that little peg thing.
Oh,
you know,
I
and
gotcha.
Stay there.
Yes.
And it was in that thing.
Like a magnet.
Yeah, like a magnet. Yeah. And the door wasn't a heavy door. And it was never a door that shut on its own. It was a creaky door. It was no kind of door that would ever – if you moved the door halfway, it would stay that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a door that would ever slam shut. So obviously when something like that happens and scares the fuck out of you, I was like so startled. I almost like dropped the iron. It was so loud. It slammed shut. So the first thing I'm thinking is, okay, no one's home. My brother was gone. My dad was gone. I was like, okay, so first thing, there has to be a window open somewhere, like a draft, right? Mm-hmm. Like a draft,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
It had to be. So your brain
happens in my house all the time.
So your brain starts thinking, oh, okay, let's like make this real. Let's think why this happened. So it starts to rationalize things. And so I start walking around my dad's room, looking at all the windows. Not one window's open. I go in the bathroom. I look at all the windows in the bathroom. None of those are open. So then I start to freak the fuck out. And my house was already creepy. It just always had a negative presence, okay? Mm-hmm. My house growing up, and I didn't know why. My parents...
Where outside of Philly?
Bucks County. So, and Bucks County's fucking... Just,
were there any wars fought there? Like,
so
battles?
I'll tell you. Wait, okay. This gets very...
She put her finger in my face.
Over there.
I just put my finger right in Jay's face, right between his eyes. It got weird. So basically... I'm trying to figure it out. I start freaking out. I call my dad. I was like, Dad, the door just slammed shut out of nowhere. Okay, this is just very random. There's no reason for this door to slam shut, and I couldn't think of a reason. I couldn't find a reason. And my dad's like, oh, maybe the house was settling. I'm like, the house was settling.
That's
this
everybody's
house
excuse.
Is brand new. Like, don't you hate those people that just make up the worst? Like,
for creeps,
they try to make up the worst reasoning. I'm like, no, this
house. That's a giant settle.
This house
really
has a basement, and the door literally slammed shut so hard that it startled me. It was so loud, you know.
Yeah.
And
was there any part of you that even after it slammed, but you caught yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, I do look good?
I mean, yeah, but like that wasn't my first thought. You know,
yeah.
It was probably my second or third thought for sure, though.
Yeah.
So I was freaking out. I called my dad, and he was like, "Oh, it's just the house settling." No, totally not true, right? So I freaked out, put my jeans on, went to school. A couple weeks later, so I started obviously like telling my friends the story, and they were like, "Oh, what's his name, Chris? This kid named Chris who was friends with my brother, and I'm forgetting his last name right now. It's been too many years, but he lived." In John Fry's old house, which was near our house.
From Fry's Electronics?
No. Oh, my God. That'd be so hilarious. From Fry's Rebellion in your history book. You guys know John Fry, right?
Wait, no.
Half off on keyboards.
I really thought it was
Fry's Electronics. Oh, my God. You guys.
No, tell us. Oh, because, you know, because sometimes it's like, especially if things are like regional in history, you learn more about it because you were like
in that area.
Can you imagine
if it was Fry's Electronics? Just super
you know, the spaceship crashed into it.
Super
my
spooky.
Idea.
All right, clearly, those red tag sales, you know, that it all started a long time ago. So basically, okay, so I'm gonna refresh your memory, guys. Obviously, neither
get a little
you
history
it.
On
John
the
Fry here. Does not ring a bell to either of you from history.
Does the Battle of Lexington Concord ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. Okay. So basically, John Fry.
Honestly, anything past Gettysburg, literally physically south of that, I just no.
Yeah, it's all dark. Okay, so basically, I mean, there's just so much murder and unfairness.
It really is.
It was awful. So basically, you guys know we never – the first taxes that Americans had to pay were on windows.
Okay.
So if you put a window in your house, you had to pay a tax on it, okay? That was the first taxes that were implemented by the U.S. government. And so –
you're saying the ghost of John Fry was going around shutting windows and doors like,
no,
shut
no, no.
this motherfucker,
no, no, no,
man.
Listen. So Fry's Rebellion happened because – John Fry and a group of people decided they didn't want to pay taxes. They were like, no, we're not paying fucking taxes. You put these windows in. That's enough work. I paid for the window. I don't need to pay a tax on it. What is this tax for, right?
Created the skylight plan.
So, yeah, he wishes. Okay, so basically.
This shit right here?
It's called a sunroof.
Oh, my God.
T-top.
I love you guys. So these tax collectors obviously are.
So wait, when they're building homes, if you put a window in.
Put a window in, you were charged a tax.
Or if you had a built home, it didn't matter.
Right, a window
a lot of those
tax.
Didn't have, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the window tax.
You like
first
sunlight?
Taxes.
Fuck you. You're getting taxed.
The first taxes implemented were on windows. So one of the first taxes implemented. And so John Fry said no. And a group of people that lived in his area were like, nope.
Listen,
we're not
guys.
Paying fucking taxes. Fuck you.
They, my whole blueprints are nothing but windows, man. I can't afford
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I live in a glass
house.
Guys, my dream is an atrium home. Yeah. Yeah. What the hell is this shit?
Come on, man. I'm growing oregano.
I'm trying to do biodome. You guys don't know. So basically what happened was the tax collectors come and they come to John Fry's house and they say, you owe all these back taxes on your house and now fees because you haven't paid this tax for the windows. And so
I wonder if it was because they weren't making the windows here, but they were bringing them
yes,
over.
Yes, they're importing. I'm sure it was. Yeah. Fuck. So basically it was an import tax. Anything you could tax anybody on, they started to, you know, first taxes.
Taxation
they were like,
without representation.
Right. So basically John Fry and back in the day when you couldn't settle things with people, you killed them. So John Fry and all his followers murdered the tax collectors.
Damn.
And buried them on his property.
Oh,
okay?
Shit.
So they were like, what did you, the fuck did you think was going to happen? So what happens, obviously, when you murder somebody? The cops
she's
come.
She's yelling at us like we all just robbed a bank.
Like
she's trying
did
to explain
it.
To us how fucked we are right now.
Let me tell you
bury
what's going
right
to happen
right out
guys,
here. I'm
going to
sit and look at him through the window.
So they bury the people on the property. And it's in the middle of the woods, you know, stone house made out of stone. They think they're obviously you're never going to get caught, whatever. They don't, you know, you think you murder somebody, you'll flee or run away. No, they
especially
stayed.
Back then.
Back then, they stayed in the house, okay? And the cops end up coming weeks later. It takes them forever to find out the tax collectors are dead. I don't know why. The cops end up coming.
Because the money never came. That's
I guess,
the only
I guess.
Why.
And mm-hmm. so the cops end up coming to the house, and they have a shootout with John Fry and his group of people that followed him, and they killed everyone. And the cops took John Fry, and they hung him in his own barn.
Damn.
Okay? Hung mm-hmm. him in his own barn to die. Mm-hmm. Cut to whatever, fucking 50, 60 years later, okay? The house stayed in the family. My brother's friend Chris lives in the house. And he's had the house in his family since he was a little boy. And he would go to school and tell everybody, you know, well, people would have sleepovers at his house and they'd be like, weird shit happened at your house. And the mother.
Right, sleep at John Fry's
yeah,
house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's actually really creepy. When you pulled up to his house, there was a little tin sign, you know, the historical sign. It says Fry's house. The original sign would said Fry's house.
So if you know anything about it, you know that there are tax collectors dead on that property and John Fry dead wherever that barn was raised.
This
is
the creepiest house.
Newest and best TVs you can find.
Oh my God.
Can't find a window on the property.
Oh my God, I love you guys. So basically his mom and his grandmother grew up there, and the grandmother used to see John Fry walking around the property when she was a little girl, and Chris saw John Fry and his mom saw John Fry, and they
like?
Just got used. He was in a black trench coat with a hat on from that period, and he would walk
John Adams.
He would pace
John Fry.
He would pace.
Okay, Blake.
Oh my God.
From here you look, in this fog you look
this
like
is
John
different,
Adams,
man.
Oh my God, I hate you so much.
That powder wig looks tight on you, man.
So he would walk back and forth in front of the barn and just pace back and forth. Sometimes he'd walk up to the windows, whatever. They got used to it. Okay?
You like them windows? Hey! You like them windows? You know how you can see me through this window? You're welcome.
He's like, I died for this goddamn window. You best appreciate it. You better clean this bitch, darling.
I love that he's still around. He can't let the windows go.
Can't let it go,
been,
man.
He's like, what you think about this
century,
window? Let me tell you a goddamn story about this window.
I ain't paying you 3 cents, goddamn it.
So the mom and the grandmother and Chris all got used to seeing him because he was just there all the time. They would see him walking back and forth, and they knew he was a ghost because you could see kind of through him. He looked like a person.
That's what I wanted to ask.
Yes,
yeah.
He looked like a person, but you could see he was moderately translucent. So if he walked in front of something, you could see through him. And they just talked about it like it was so normal.
That's
and
a good title
and,
for
and they were
too,
so used to it. Translucent.
Moderately translucent.
Moderately translucent.
I like that. Remember that.
And so
it's a great indie band.
Good for a ghost porn. Moderately.
Right.
So basically his mom was like, oh yeah, yeah, plates, like friends would go sleep over his house and plates would go flying off the shelf and
what?
Hit the wall. Yeah, yeah. You would hear like knocking on doors, like all kinds of weird shit. And so people got freaked out. And so Chris obviously, everyone knew Chris had the haunted house, okay?
Yeah.
So story got around to me about that because I was telling all my friends at school about what happened with me with the door. And so they were like, let's all go over Chris's house.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, I don't really want to go over Chris's house. And Chris was like, yeah, come over. It's chill. It's no big deal. And I was like, is he going to hurt us? He's like, no, I've lived there my whole life. My grandmother's lived there. My mom's lived there. He doesn't hurt you. He just is. You can see him. You know, you'll probably see him. But he's a dark energy. He's not a good one. He's not a good ghost. Okay. Because Chris is great.
He murdered people.
Of course.
But wait, real quick. So I know his family saw it. Had any of your other friends been witness to that also and be like, no, you need to go. We've seen it too.
Yeah. my brother.
Not just okay.
Greg, my brother Greg. Act like you know him. You know Greg.
You know Greg.
Gregory, the tarot card reader. Very reliable source.
Oh, Greg got a lot of readings in there.
So Greg saw everybody. Everybody's been in that place. That's been in that place. Knew that they'd seen it. They'd seen things. They'd seen things fly
the
off shelves
and all that. Yeah.
They've heard the knocking on the door. They'd get up to answer the door. Nobody's there.
But how many people saw the ghost? Just his family.
I think his family and a couple of our friends had seen the ghost, and so they said, "Yeah, you'll see it." I mean, the friends that hung out with him a lot would see it. You know, you'd see it at night or whatever. But the thing that everybody saw. Okay, this gets even creepier because I even saw this with my own eyes. Is the woods, because the house is in the middle of the woods, okay? And the house, there's an Indian burial ground in the way back woods of the house, and there's a cave that has old Indian cave.
Yep. Fucking cave. At what point do you say, hey, let's just find another place to live?
No, they didn't, because they just got used to it, and they were like, well, if it's not killing us, and also his family was poor, and the house was in the family, so they didn't have to pay. You know, the house is paid off. They just had to upkeep it, right? So
they're poor,
so they were like, "We're not gonna." Like, I don't care if it's fucking ghosts. If you're poor, like, I'll live with these goddamn ghosts. I'll charge these motherfucking ghosts rent. You know what I mean? Money is tight. Okay, listen, like
the cave. Did you ever go in?
No. Listen, this is the creepy part. So the cave is in the middle of the woods, and there's a red light
in
the middle of the woods near the cave. And if you walk into the forest and you keep walking towards the red light, you never reach it.
The light?
You never reach the red light. You'll reach the cave, but the red light just keeps moving back further and further.
Oh, man.
So I walked to the cave, but I didn't walk.
Jay just jumped for
fuck was that?
I don't know.
Someone out there.
I carry a lot of like weird chaotic energy with
Jay
me.
Jay just jumped for it.
Did you hear that noise out there?
I heard it, yeah, but I didn't jump.
I'm on the back to the door.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm not even kidding. I'm being dead serious right now. It's
Hang
very
on
scary.
Everybody. Jeffrey, get your ass in here, Jeff.
I walked towards the light. I kept walking with
Solo?
My friends. And you know, with my friends, and you never reach it. Never. It just keeps moving back,
Did
back,
you
back, back,
pass
back.
The fucking cave?
Yep.
No one went in the cave?
No. My brother and his friends went in there during the day. And the
So what?
No, it's still pitch black.
Never going in the cave.
The Natural History Museum was trying to buy this property because it was a historical residence. And so they were trying to buy the property from Chris's family.
I would have been like, sure.
Also because of the... But they weren't offering enough money.
Right.
Like, you know, not for them to move, you know, and live somewhere else. You know, they didn't have to pay... The house was paid off. So basically... So that's how it started with walking out to the cave, and we went over Chris's house. You see the little sign. You go in. Everything's really creepy, very creepy, okay? The house is so old, has little tiny windows. The windows were tiny. I'm like, you really trying to charge tax for this thing? It's like 4 by 4 inches, really? Like, I could fucking shit
They probably out. Told him the smaller they are, the cheaper the tax is. He's like, I'm going to put some fucking sunglasses
I could eat glass bigger than this and not die. You know what I mean? Like, they were tiny little fucking windows back in the day. So... We
call those peepholes.
Yeah, so, but, oh, this is what I didn't tell you. So, the John Fry's ghost was dark. His, everything surrounding him, he wore all black, and his energy was dark. And bad things would happen. You know, things would fall off the shelves and break. Things would go missing, all kinds of stuff. So, the grandmother took a crucifix, and she went into the barn when she was younger and climbed up where John Fry was hung, and there's like a piece of the rope still there.
No.
Yep. They cut the most of the rope down, but there was the little knot at the top was still there. She went up to the barn and she nailed in a crucifix into the barn to try to bless the barn so that, you know, the spirit would hopefully be at rest. Every single day since she nailed that crucifix into the barn, every night the crucifix gets turned upside down.
No.
And she goes in every day and climbs up her little ladder and turns it right side up.
No
every
way.
Every single
Ooh, I got chills
day.
On that one.
It gets turned upside down. Every
she
night.
Is such a grandmother, like, can't accept that John's just a bad dude.
Yeah, no,
just
she's so determined.
Ain't gonna change him.
She's so determined and religious that she's like, nope, I'm gonna fix it. Let me just turn Jesus back right side up. Yeah, and it gets turned upside down. And I went up to the cross and looked at it, and it's nailed in. Like, it's tight. It's not loose. It's not like on a thing
that
if someone
set up a GoPro in there.
This was back in, we didn't have GoPros. We didn't have cell
phones.
Now,
it's just still happening.
Sure.
Now.
I mean, I haven't talked to him in so long, but he should. I'm sure it's been on like Paranormal Investigators, or they should have it beyond that. I don't know. So we had no, yeah, and this is back when there's no cell phones. There's no, right. Like, you know, this is back in the early, like late 90s, mid 90s, you know, no cell phones, no, like, you know, digital
especially
cameras and things.
People.
Especially not for poor people. Exactly. I know, not to say that, but truthfully, but not for people who
trust
were
in a long time before I got one.
Yeah, yeah, me too. For people that were like in the struggle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there was really no way to prove it, although here we go. So this gets crazy. So we go over to Chris's house. Well, it's me. My friend Nadine, who's my best friend still, and will vouch for this story.
You don't need to, girl. Nadine! Come on, man. Co-sign this.
Do you know how happy I would be if she was here? I love her.
We knew.
She's in Philadelphia. Shout out to Nadine.
What's up, girl?
What's up, man, D?
And she's the shit. And so she was with me and our friend Bridget, okay? And we didn't do any drugs, okay? We were totally sober. I didn't do any drugs back then anyway. I was such a little square. I did all my drugs in my early 20s. So we go up to Chris's house, and I'd heard from everyone, you know, it's really scary. So I was already a little nervous, you know, and plus that what had just happened to me, I was a little nervous, but I was also still skeptical because I was like, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. I very much didn't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris is like, oh, you don't believe in it. He's like, you really want to work them up? We'll bring the Ouija board into the barn.
Mm-mm.
And I've been told
I've had bad experiences.
Exactly.
Personally.
I've been raised Roman Catholic, which is why I'm so fucked up. But also, you know,
I'll put some on that.
They don't fuck with that shit. You know what I'm saying? They don't fuck with Ouija boards. We're like, that's sacrilegious. You're not supposed to play with that stuff. So he pulls the Ouija board out, and I was like, oh no, like I should not be doing.
Listen,
this.
Listen, pull out a Ouija board is one thing. You bring out an ironing board, and I'm fucking, I'm out.
Straight
okay?
His pants.
Oh my god, seriously though, I'd fucking iron the shit out of some pants.
John Frost, get that trench coat. I'll iron that shit.
It's
up.
So funny that. You know, because, and I've told it before, so I'll say it. We made a homemade one, and apparently that's supposed to be
Ouija
worse.
Work?
Yeah, and
yeah.
When my friend's father
that's
saw
bad.
That, he broke it over his fucking knee and threw it in the trash outside.
It's very dangerous.
But it's funny to me that
he
Parker
put that
Brothers,
trash outside?
He put it in
Woo!
The trash outside.
He was serious, huh?
He keep it, yeah.
He needed to put it in the trash inside.
No. That's
well,
right. He was
that
scared
anything.
To death of that motherfucker. He did
yeah.
Take it outside.
I'm serious. Have you ever played with a Ouija board?
I sure have.
You have to use
Parker
like,
Brothers,
my
though.
Mom
that's
and her
what makes me laugh.
Do it all
it's
the time.
Parker Brothers.
Listen,
game.
Though, I'm being real with you guys
I have
for a
done
second.
It enough.
Do you ever feel like you have some weird bad energy attached to you from that experience?
No.
I've had bad energy attached to me just from parts of my life, but never like a experience with a other spirit or anything.
Like nobody named Charles jumped on my back
no,
and has been riding with me since that day.
I have like really terrifying nightmares, and I've had them since I was younger. Very vivid, strong, terrifying
nightmares. Fries might be up in you, girl.
You guys, I don't know. Like, and I'm not trying to be weird.
Can you walk us through like a bad nightmare?
So, well, let me just finish
yeah,
the story because I feel like I'm going all over the place.
Gonna,
okay, because I have a lot to tell you guys if you want to know about some crazy
yeah,
shit.
I like where we're at right now.
Okay, so basically we go into the...
Unfortunately, it is all the time we have.
Oh.
No, come on,
all right,
go.
Let me just deep throat this mic and then I'm out. I just got to do what I came here for. Let me just slob knob this mic really
ahead,
quick. Okay. No, so basically, we end up going into the barn. He turns all the lights on, right? And it's not that scary, but he has these fluorescent lights. They're buzzing.
Is it nighttime outside?
It's nighttime. It's pitch black, okay? You see the red light in the woods. You look out into the woods and see this red light really far in the distance. It's very creepy. You can see the shadow of the cave. We're in the middle of the woods, Pennsylvania. Deep woods, Pennsylvania, surrounded by really tall trees, okay? Dirt road up to the house with pebbles. It's just totally just
nice
not
touch.
Where you want to be. It's like literally every horror movie you've ever seen, right? Some duck and dumb kids go into an old ass rickety big ass barn. You know, there's a table in there. Everything's dusty. There's fucking tools hanging on the side. Anything you could get murdered with. It was perfect, right? So we all sit around this shitty wooden table. There's fluorescent lights above that are just kind of shake like, you know, hanging, making their weird buzzing noise. And we start playing with the Ouija board, and we're like, oh, you know, is John Fry here? You know, nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know, is there anybody here? Is there a presence here? Nothing, right? So we all get kind of like, we get kind of bored, you know, like 30 minutes go by, and we all just start joking around, you know, riffing, whatever, playing around, not paying attention. And we're all laughing, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, because we were just chilling at that point, out of nowhere, a freezing cold, and this is in the summer. The hot
That's what I was gonna ask
Pennsylvania
when it was.
Summer, okay? It's hot. It's sticky.
90 at night.
I'm talking
still
about
shit.
You're
yeah.
talking about some sticky, humid Pennsylvania summer, right? We're in the barn. All of a sudden, a freezing cold gust of air settles all around of us. And it was so strong and so cold that we were in the middle of telling jokes and we all stopped and looked at each other immediately. And one of us even was like, like that, because it was just so cold. It's just like a refrigerator opened, okay? And then all the lights went off.
No.
And I got chills on that. I'm the fuck out of here. I fucking ran. I just left all of my friends. I was like, I'm out of here. I don't care. Y'all can die.
You're
like,
the first one that gets killed, by the way.
So I run out of
the barn. Hope y'all get those electronics worked
out. I run out of the barn. Nadine runs out. We're all screaming. Chris runs out. He's like, I fucking told you some crazy shit would happen. I told you. And we're like, where's your mom? Where's your mom? Did your mom do this? She fucking with us? So we look. His mom comes running out of the house because she hears everybody screaming. She's like, are you guys okay? Is everything okay? And we're like, did you just turn the lights off in the barn? She's like, no. She's like, were you guys trying to play with John? You trying?
Someone whistling out there.
John,
that's creepy. Here. Did you guys really just hear that? Creepy-ass whistle?
Yeah, it was a whistle.
So anyway, so we run out of the barn. We're like, did you turn the lights off? She says no. And we're like, okay, yeah, right. Then the light goes back on with her standing right there. Big floodlight on the top of the barn. Everything, all the lights go on inside the barn. Okay? And we're like, what the fuck? What is wrong with this place? And she's like, I told you, you shouldn't be playing around with him. You're going to piss him off, and then he's going to start breaking shit. Like, she's yelling at her son, like, matter-of-factly. Not like some crazy person. Like, literally,
first
like,
of all, isn't it time for John to grow up? Like, we all got to be worried about John?
Yeah, no, but they had
broke
to.
Broke my good china
they
last
had
week.
To. Like, they had to be very careful of not fucking with him or trying to bring him around.
That
because
shit was his property.
It was his property, and he would if they worked him up or if they, you know, got anything going on with him, bothered him, he would break shit in the house or hide shit or whatever. So Chris is like, I'm sorry, mom. He's like, she's like, you guys need to stop that and come into the house. And my friend Bridget goes, no, I want to go back in. Let's see if we can get to talk to him now that he's here. And she goes to walk towards the barn and doom, all the lights go off.
No!
Right in front of us. And then his mom gets pissed and she's like, knock it off. Get inside right now. She's like, I'm not letting you do this right now. I'm going to end up with broken plates. Like, she was pissed. She knew what he would do.
Yeah.
And they just talked about it like it was a guy, but it's like a dead guy. Right. So it's kind of it was kind of creepy.
From centuries
it was
ago.
Very creepy for me, because I was like, she was talking about him like she's like very
Chris, matter take of fact. Your friends to the cave, okay? Yeah.
So we all go inside the house, right? And we're inside the house and we're talking to his mom and we're like, how do you live like this? And she's like, you just get used to it. She's like, and it's never scary and it's never a thing because she grew up with it. Right. And I was like, well, why didn't you ever like tell the news or like get people over here? And she's like, because I don't want to be known as some crazy lady. She's like, nobody will ever believe you. Yeah. You know, but and then also because it's not like
piss
he's
him off.
It's not like he yeah, exactly. She goes, and I don't want to create more chaotic energy that's already here. And also, you can't guarantee that if you bring the news over and all that shit that he's gonna show up. You know what I mean? It's like She just didn't want to be bothered. She was just some nurse that was just trying to live her life in this house. The grandmother was still alive. They still were just trying to live their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. So then we were like, well, what else happened? And he tells us about, like, this was right when AIM or the first version of computers were coming out. It was, like, the first one, right? And they were just really shitty. And there was like almost like an instant messenger. I don't know what it was, but it was like it was like a messaging app. Okay. Yeah. That you could message your mom and whoever, your friends back and forth, right? On this little computer upstairs. And so one night he got in a fight with his mom and he was fighting with her downstairs. And he comes upstairs to his little shitty computer and he's getting ready to go to bed, and then all of a sudden it starts going. The AIM turns on and goes, stop yelling at your mother, 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 over and over and over and over again. And so now
I got chills across my shoulders.
He stopped fucking with his mom because he was
no shit.
Literally fighting with his mom and the fucking spirit was like, stop fighting with your mother, stop fighting with your mother, stop fighting with your mother. And he was like, yeah, it was fucking crazy. And his mom was like, that's the most appreciation I've ever had for the, you know, for the ghost, like telling him to not fight with his mother because he would yell at his mom, curse it or whatever. He was, you know, bad kid. And so then we all go up to his room and he has these two little tiny, like I told you, tiny windows. Okay. And the whole outside of the house is stone and the inside is like plaster. It's just like a shitty, you know, it's just an old home. It's not shitty. It was well made, but it's old. And so there's these two tiny windows on each side of his bed. And he goes, watch this. I'll piss him off. And I go, what are you going to do? And he goes, I play my music loud and it pisses the ghost off. And he starts banging on the windows.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, what? And he's like, go feel the window. And I was like, okay, so I feel the window. And no. The window is like built in solid. You know, mm-hmm. they used to put the window in. The window's not shaky. There's no.
Can't open it.
You can't open it. It's just built into it. It doesn't move. There's no, nothing. This doesn't make any noise if you move it, right? He goes, watch this. I'm going to turn my music up. He starts playing some crazy rap music really loud. And he goes, watch the windows. And then all of a sudden, back and forth on the windows really fast, it goes.
Like you hear that?
A finger tapping back and forth on the windows really fast. And he goes, watch, I'll turn it down. It'll stop. And it stopped. Oh. He turns the music back up.
God.
Man. And I watched that happen. And I was like, okay, time to go home. And I literally was like, I literally just was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Must have been a draft at my house.
No. Literally the scariest thing. And we
You know what it was? Honestly, you know what it was?
What?
I'm not an expert on any of this, but I'm going to guarantee that your boy Chris, is that his name?
Uh-huh.
Got those speakers at Circuit City. And I'm just saying, he's a fry guy. You know what I mean? Probably upset. And he's like, every day.
I'm so dead. That's hilarious. So we just all got out of there after that because we were like, he was like, inspect the window, see if it rattles, see if it does anything. He's like, I'm going to guarantee you're going to hear tapping. And it was like a fingernail tap on a window, on glass, mm-mm. going back and forth, hard.
Man.
Like someone throwing rocks at it. So,
I've been like, good luck.
I'm boring
Chris.
Jay. Jay's passing out.
Fuck no.
Jay's like, I'm going night night.
I mean, he's not going to sleep.
This story
tonight.
Sucks.
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, you're gonna sleep good.
This is like,
yeah, it's creepy, right?
Yeah.
So then this keeps going. So then my friend's mom picks us up, and she goes and takes us, and we're telling her everything that happened. And she grew up in my area in Pennsylvania, and she was like, "I'm telling you guys, I told you, there's a place called Gravity Hill in Pennsylvania too, where if you pull your car up,
yeah, we have one.
Yep, and you stop and it pulls your car up. It's fucking
Ward's
crazy.
Chapel.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So there's all kinds of weird stuff in Pennsylvania. So then she starts driving me and my girlfriends back to my house, and we're telling her, and we're like freaked out and like, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe this. And she's like, I told you guys, like, don't mess with that stuff. It's not good. And so this is her first time. My friend's mom's first time taking me home, and she drives into my neighborhood and she goes, wait a minute, this looks familiar. She's like, this didn't used to be a neighborhood. She's like, this didn't used to be a neighborhood. And I was like, what do you mean it didn't used to be a neighborhood? She's like, I grew up a couple blocks from here, this wasn't a neighborhood, this was a graveyard.
Oh my,
because it was a new development,
right? Yep.
You got real life poltergeist,
like,
here.
I was like, that, when she said that, that made so much sense because my house had the most chaotic energy. My parents fought horribly. My mom was fighting with my dad. Like, my mom would straight up chase my dad with knives. Like, some crazy, scary, like, possessed shit. Like, she would take a butcher knife and chase my dad around our house and try to stab him. She'd be like, go in your room. I don't want you to see this. And I was like,
and they
what?
Got divorced, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is...
I don't want
is,
you to see this.
No. He's like caged heat.
Not that I'm holding a knife about what I'm about to fucking do to your dad.
Exactly. And I was like, this was so... It was the craziest shit used to happen. And she would get so off the handle. And I was like, what happened to her? Because I don't remember, like... my grandmother was like, she was never like this. And I just remember I would have sleepovers when I was younger, and like our doors would shut and like weird shit would happen. And even though my house was new, people were like, Brittany's house is weird. I don't like staying there. I feel like I'm being watched. Like, it was very creepy. And then I had like very severe depression like the whole time that I lived there. As soon as I moved and moved to LA when I was 18, I had no depression. It was crazy. Like, I was just
so
sad.
Have you ever looked that up at all? Like, if people go through that kind of thing because of the energy of a place they live?
Yeah, and it is, and it can attach itself to you. And I feel like I've also had this weird, and I know I sound like a total psycho right
about
now.
About to kick your ass out of here.
I know, but I feel like I carry a lot of, like, really, I don't know what, I just feel like something, like, attached itself to me. It freaks me out. I don't know what it is, but it's like a scary, dark.
It's like John Fry's cat or something.
I don't
jump
know.
On your back and just
I
came
don't
with you.
Know. And it's like, I try not to, like, welcome that stuff into my life, and I'm very against
do
it.
Do not welcome any.
I don't, and it freaks me out. And I'm like, well, what did I fucking do today? Well, you know what else I used to do, though, because I was weird? When I was younger, I used to go for walks because, my mom left when I was really young, and I was just with my dad and my brother, and at night I couldn't sleep. And so I would get up in the middle of the night, and I would walk to the cemetery.
At what age?
At like 7 and 8.
What?
And I would lay in the cemetery grass.
Lay in it?
Yeah, because it was
night?
Really fluffy. And I used to sleep by this little boy. This little boy who died when he was like 2 years old. And it was this little picture on his grave. And I used to sleep by his grave.
Did your dad ever find you?
And I would listen to Moby, or not, maybe it wasn't Moby because I was too young. I would listen to some kind of weird Moby-like
music. At 6 or 7?
I was like 9.
Oh, 9.
Probably. I was like young. I was young. Young enough to like, my dad didn't know I was leaving the house. And
how far of a walk?
It was probably like a mile or two.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I would walk and I would go into the graveyard and the grass was really bouncy because they just, you know, put the grass down because they're putting the graves in or whatever. It would be really bouncy. And so I would lay in it and I'd watch the sun come up and it was really beautiful. And then I'd walk home at like 8 a.m. and go to school. Yeah, so I feel like I attracted some crazy.
Oh, I'm going to say, yeah.
By laying in the graveyards. I would do that every night.
I think it attracted you.
Yeah. Something took you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know what made me want to do it. I just went there. I just walked there and I was like, this is peaceful. And
If you weren't engaged, I would say this is a great story to tell a guy you want to break up with. Because that would send any dude.
You know, when I was 7, I used to go to graveyards and sleep next to a 2-year-old boy.
Suck a great dick.
I just was like, I don't know what made me want to do it. And I would like have my little Walkman and like listen to weird like music.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool that you had that kind of confidence and like security.
Yeah, I wasn't scared, which is so weird. Like,
you weren't scared.
I wasn't scared. But how long did you do that for? Oh, I did it for years. So I was like 15.
The walk to the cemetery alone and everything like
that. Until you didn't do it in the winter, though. It was too cold because it snowed.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So it was
only
during the summer times. And I would go and lay there. My dad never knew. He never knew I left the house because I would come back before he got up for work. Yeah. And then I'd be so tired for school. In school the next day, I'd just sleep on my desk. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. That's officially crazy.
But I'll tell you what.
It's
kind of
special, though.
The energy there was so peaceful. It wasn't dark. It was very calming.
Do you remember that little boy's name?
No, but I remember his picture. He was a little blonde boy, and he was so cute. And
there was a picture on the grave?
Yeah, you know how people put their pictures in a little circular? When the kids die young, they sometimes put like a little circle, and it has a photo in it.
Oh, wow.
It's like laser engraved.
Yeah. Well, no, this was like a photo.
Oh, they had a real picture?
You know how the like, little oval picture that like, you can – it's almost like
they had a window on
it.
I was about to say.
It was
I was just about to say the same thing.
He was a really cute little blonde boy.
It could have been really peaceful because like you were there with him.
Exactly.
I mean, I believe in all that stuff, and I still to this day like cemeteries. Like, I like them. I like going for bike rides and going through them. I feel like it's like, I don't like walking. I don't walk over graves because I feel like it's disrespectful, but I used to love being in cemeteries.
Yeah.
As a kid, I always have liked funerals. Always.
Really?
Yeah. I don't feel like it's a, I know they're sad and emotional, but I feel like it's a celebration.
It's
freeing, you can't ever think that this is going to be forever.
They're never going to hurt
so
anymore.
I always liked it. So, I mean, I think it's pretty cool that you got drawn there and then you were a part of something because you were clearly a part of something. And if there are spirits, you know, in those environments, it's and you're kicking it with the 2-year-old, I don't feel like even the biggest douche in that cemetery is going to be like, leave her alone. She's over there with that 2-year-old.
Exactly.
Kid,
and that's the old one. I always sat by his because it's his picture on it and I thought it was so sad.
That's the scariest thing to me, though. There's no fucking way. Ever, I would be going. I remember freshman in high school, these girls in band with me after a football game were like, we're going to the cemetery to bring the Ouija board. Why don't you come with us? And I was like,
no, thanks.
Hard pass.
Yeah. No, I never brought a Ouija board or anything there. I would just lay there and the grass was so like, it was so bouncy. I just remember being so bouncy and so comfortable. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time at my father's grave, daytime only. First of all, they lock it at night. But second of all, that is a cemetery that's, it's, you know, those headstones date back into the 1800s, early 1800s and shit. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah, there's some old ones in this one, too.
It's something about tombstones that is more intimidating to me. A good friend of mine, she was like my sister. She was killed in a car accident when we were in high school. And I would go sit at night at hers because it was in the county and it was up on a – her grave was up on a hill. And you could see the cars go by at night. And we would go up there and have a smoke or a drink and just sit there next to her grave and stuff. And that one – was plots in the ground only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't have that intimidating feel like where you'd be walking, you'd see that one huge cross and shit. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, good God. Like, so that one, like, that one made me feel a little more safe to be out there.
Here's another one. We would always go visit my grandfather's gravestone as kids. And we didn't really have a lot of money growing up. And I remember like I would get so upset that we would be visiting the grave and not have flowers. So me and my brother would go to the dumpster, jump in the dumpster, and get old flowers that they've cleared off other graves, jump back out, and then
go
put them on his grave.
That's really
and
sweet.
I loved it. I fucking loved it. It was like a little adventure.
Yeah.
You felt like, you know, I didn't have money. You know what I mean? We were like 5 and 8 and stuff like that. But
That's really sweet.
But that is scary.
I used to bring the little boy flowers and every. I used to bring flowers for kind of every. I just give different people flowers, and I put like sometimes I'd open candy and put candy there.
Here's the best.
You got a connection from the other side with that.
I don't know what it was. I just felt so comfortable there. It wasn't dark then, but now I feel like some kind of dark shit's following me. I don't know.
I bet some of those like spirits are there. Like, oh, here comes that weird chick.
I don't like fucking Reese's. I have a peanut allergy. I put a Reese's cup on a guy who died from a peanut allergy. Yeah, he's like, I died from fucking peanut allergy. Okay, you put a fucking Reese's. What is this? Some kind of joke? Oh my god, it was so crazy. Yeah, so I've had some weird shit happen, you guys. You want to hear some really scary shit? So recently, I shot a movie in New York State. Okay, this is the last thing I'll tell you, and this is how I know some weird shit follows me. I stayed at the Queensberry Hotel in New York State,
upstate or where
upstate
are we talking?
New York. Okay,
where?
It's called
Poughkeepsie,
Glens Falls.
Is that?
My wife's from Wappinger Falls.
I don't know what the fuck.
How far up past the city?
Far.
A couple hours.
Far as fuck.
Yeah. Okay, basically, so you're like way upstate.
Okay,
Kate,
if anybody's listening to this, Google fucking Queensberry Hotel. It's been on paranormal shows. That's how fucking haunted it is.
And they put you up there?
And they put me up in the fucking haunted hotel.
They knew.
I was just a supporting actress. The main actors got to stay at the Marriott down the street that was brand new and had a bar. I got to stay at fucking Queensberry Hotel with like old man Mr. Queen over there. It was like fucking like creepy as fuck. Who wore suspenders? Like, who does that anymore? You know, it was very scary.
Yeah.
So the first thing that happens is I get out of the... Of course, I Google the hotel before I saw it, and I'm Googling it with my fiance, and he's like, this looks fucking terrifying. I was like, this is terrifying. I don't want to go here. Like, basically, it's that hotel that has like wallpaper from like a really long time ago and little pictures of Victorian girls and like dogs all over the walls and shit. Like, it's creepy. Google it, guys. It's fucking creepy. So I show up to the hotel. I'm by myself. I'm with the PA who drove me to the hotel, and I walk inside, and I see the first guy I see. I go, is this hotel haunted? And he goes, oh, yeah. And then just walked away.
Matter of fact.
And then
I'm a ghost too, by the way.
He's just like,
I'm at the Marriott.
He's just like a janitor. I was like, is this hotel? Is this hotel haunted? He goes, oh yeah. And he just keeps walking. I'm like, okay, cool, thanks, see ya. Like, good to see you, bye. So I go up to the counter, and then I go to the guy behind the counter, and I go, is this hotel haunted? And he goes, yeah, it's haunted. He's like, but we're renovating the fourth floor. I was like, you're renovating the fourth floor? And he's like, yeah, we were just redoing it. And I was like, can I stay on
There was a murder there 3 weeks ago.
I was like, can I stay on the fourth floor? And he's like, no, they're all sold out because they're all the new rooms. And I was like, so where do I have to stay? He's like, you get to stay on the first floor. And I was like, what's wrong with that floor? He's like, that's the oldest floor. I was like,
yeah, it's
great.
The first one they built.
Yes, exactly. So it's the oldest fucking rickety ass floor.
All the hauntings down there.
Oh my God. So basically there's a woman in a blue dress who walks around the first floor. And so I had my wiener dog with me, Nina. Okay, Nina. She's the cutest little wiener dog, and I bring her with me because I have terrible anxiety. Obviously, you can tell I'm very high strung, and so I flip. I have panic attacks. And I have all this shit that's wrong with me. So
I pick that up.
I really. Oh, he's like, I'm joking. I literally am so anxiety ridden.
I was confirmed with the cemetery.
I'm so anxiety ridden. I have so much bad anxiety. So I panic attacks out of nowhere. So my dog calms me down, so I don't have to take Valium because I don't want to be a drug addict. So I take my dog with me everywhere, pretty much. I'm that annoying girl. And so my dog and I, we go into the room. She brings her ball, obviously. We're playing ball, and I'm unpacking, and I'm trying to make the room, like, situated. Meanwhile, there's a fucking furniture from, like, the 1200s, and, like, and the fucking bed's got posters on. It's, like, fucking terrible, basically. Like,
John Friday, this is nice.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. The room, the windows are old. Like, everything's old. So old, okay? Like, it's the creepiest fucking room. The light, like, flickered. It didn't even stay on.
I don't like first floors on hotels anyway.
It's awful. It's awful. Okay, so I'm unpacking. I'm like looking at the fucking coffee stain wallpaper from like the fucking 1200s. It's awful. And I'm unpacking, and I'm throwing my dog the ball, and I'm not really paying attention. And I throw the ball, and I turn around, and then she's sitting behind me wagging her tail, and she doesn't have the ball. And I'm like, where's your ball? I just threw it over my shoulder. And I turn around, and I look, and the ball is up on a shelf.
Come on.
High, up on a shelf, sitting there still.
Mm-hmm. Nuh-uh.
And this is me throwing the ball over my shoulder, like not paying attention. And the ball's up here, sitting still. And I was like, fuck this. I like emailed my agent. I was like, listen, I don't care if you guys are WME. I'm going to get fucking murdered in this place. Seriously. Like, they were like, well, we can move you the hotels, but it'll come out of your pay. And I was like, you know what? I can live with some ghosts.
It ain't that. I got sage in my hand.
I was like, it's all good. Let me just get some non-trompa and fucking non-trompa.
I have sage in that office over there, and I promise you, after your ass leaves, I'm saging the shit out of this.
So I was so freaked out. I fucking called the front desk, and I was like, I'm really scared. I'm freaked out. And they were like, okay, we'll send somebody up. They send the janitor, who I fucking...
The creepiest person on the property.
The guy who's been killing people on the fourth floor.
The guy who fucking was like, yep, it's haunted. Like, came right upstairs. He's like, I was like, is this place really haunted? He goes, yeah. And I was like, well, what are you... Like, you're not making me feel better. He's like, it won't do anything to you. I was like, it won't do anything to me. He's like, no, you'll be fine. And I was like,
he's
okay.
He's like, but I will.
He's like, can we, you want to go for a tour? I was like, I'm good on the death tour. Thanks anyway.
I'm good.
So I go to bed, and the first night I'm there, I have.
How long are you there?
I'm there for 7 days.
Okay.
But I left halfway through because I got a couple days off of shooting. So I flew home for 3 days. That's how bad I didn't want to stay there.
Holy
I spent $800 of my money to fly back to LA for 3 days just to not have three
Get
more days
there.
In Glens Falls. Yeah, because it was the energy was so bad, you guys. Like, I'm telling you, it was fucking crazy. I'm not to be that girl that talks about energy all the time, even though I'm that girl that talks about energy all the time.
You know what I mean?
But literally, it was fucking chaotic energy. It was awful. So I'm sleeping, and I have a dream. And in my dream, I thought I was awake, and I was in that room, and Satan... comes in the door. Okay?
What did he look like?
He was a lizard man, red, scales all over the body, black toenails.
This is while you're in the room?
While I'm in the room, sitting in the bed.
Sounds like a gecko.
My dog's asleep, and I'm talking to her, and I'm like, Nina, wake up! And I'm like trying to get her to bark, and
this
I'm
is
trying
in the
to
dream?
Scream. This is in the dream. And he has yellow eyes, and he has fucking crazy black hair, split tongue, long split tongue, pointy ears. He's totally red and scaled. And his nails are super long and black, and his toenails are super long and black, and he's naked, and he's really built, but not like not any part of it's it's very scary.
Traps on you,
it's
man.
Very scary. And so he gets on top of me and he pins me down and he rips the sheets off and he takes his long fingernail and he starts carving pentagrams into
Jesus
my thighs.
Jesus Christ, you have this dream?
Yes, the first night I'm there and he starts carving pentagrams into my thighs.
I'm out of that, Mark.
I think wasn't this a music video from Nine Inch Nails? I'm like,
I'm fucking screaming.
I'd have been like, listen, y'all, it's a wrap for me on this movie.
Like, it's a wrap. I haven't even shot my scene yet. I'm like,
give a fuck.
I'm like, Martini! Martini's up. So I fucking, and it's a comedy, and I'm like, how am I gonna go perform this comedy when I'm having all this chaotic like shit happen? I wake up the next morning and my thighs hurt, and I wake up and I'm like, I'm gonna pull this fucking thing off, and there's gonna be pentagrams, and there wasn't, obviously.
Oh,
but there I wasn't. Felt like the residual,
like you felt the pressure
tension,
from it.
Tension. I went on my Snapchat literally the next day and was like, you guys will not fucking believe that. And I was like talking about it. I was like, somebody come fucking save me. This is crazy. Yeah, and I had fucking that dream the first night I was there. It was awful. I literally thought I was awake. It was one of those dreams where I'm not a person to have sleep paralysis or anything like that. It wasn't like that. Like, I didn't feel anybody sitting on my chest. I just thought I was awake and seeing him in my room. And it was the room regularly as it is. It wasn't like a weird dream state of the room. Yeah, it was fucking crazy. I had to stay there I left. So I ended up only staying there for like a couple nights, probably like 4 or 5 nights. But it was fucking creepy, you guys. It was bad.
I would have just took that $800 and put it into a new hotel.
I moved up to the fourth floor after 2 nights because someone left. And I said, I told the guy, the front desk guy, as soon as
I
had
that
dream.
I was like,
listen there, Satan tried to fuck me last night. Okay? I'm about to leave you guys the gnarliest Yelp review. Yeah, this hotel has a great burger. And if you're cool with Satan raping you, then definitely stay in room 405. It was so scary. And I told the guy, I was like, please, if someone leaves the fourth floor, please, please, please get me in there. And like the second day someone did, and I went into the fourth floor, and the fourth floor was fine. There was no...
I mean, I would have bounced no matter what.
Yeah, fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, man.
I stayed in a haunted hotel one
you
time.
You did?
Yeah, and I moved. I spent the one night, and I moved over to the other community. I'm like, man, I got to crash.
You could tell
room.
It was haunted, right?
100. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't have Satan come into my room, but... I had chills up and down me the entire night. Like, it was in the room with me, like, chilling. And I was
it's awful.
I'm fucking out of here. And the other comedian was like, well, there's two beds. I'm like, well, fucking one's mine, playa.
Yeah.
Because I was not staying in that place another night.
Yeah, fuck that. And I tried to get out of the hotel, but then the only closer place was the Marriott, and they were like, we're going to take it out of your pay. And I should have just done it, but I was
you
know what? I'll fucking just go stay on the fourth floor. But it
I
was
did
really...
I had an experience, too, but I was in Arrowhead doing this show, and it was... It was so intense that after the show, we were supposed to stay that night also. We got up there a night before to make it a vacation, but we were supposed to stay the next night too, and I packed up. It was when Stella was newborn.
Oh, my God.
And I had my stepson too, and I came back, and I was like, pack the fucking car up.
We're
out of here. We drove back at
midnight.
What
happened that made you want to leave?
I had a a being lay on me and hold me down.
Do you have sleep paralysis?
No.
No, it was sleep paralysis.
It was not. I've never had it in my life.
You've never had it happen, never. But you felt it.
And I told the owner the fucking bed and breakfast, and yeah. It was, you know, he said it right, because all the rooms were named after a person. Like, that's the Delilah room, and that's already fucking creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy. Who's Delilah? Yeah.
She right. died at
they
five.
Talk, they did, and then they would tell you that. And she's like, I don't tell people about it, but they come to me and tell me inevitably, and then we just keep a log of it.
Yeah. And you want to see like, the log? The log's like a Bible. It's like super thin.
But I mean, it was so fucking disturbing.
Did you see the being?
No.
You just felt it. Mm-hmm. It was heavy. You couldn't get up, right?
Nope. And
you tried to scream and move. You couldn't.
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to move everything, but I was wide awake. And then, So when I got back at the time, Donna said, Stella's been crying the whole time. I don't know what's going on. It's like there's something in here.
Yep.
And I was like, that's it. Pack
we're
the
out.
Car.
Yeah,
we bounced. We drove right back in the middle of the night down that mountain all the way.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't care.
The shit is so real, and people try to act like it's not. I'm like, I used to be the biggest skeptic until shit started. I witnessed it. I was like, this is so insane.
When in your life were you the biggest skeptic? I'd like to know.
Because I wasn't afraid of ghosts. That's why I would go to the cemetery.
Yeah, totally.
I would go to the cemetery because I didn't believe in it. I was like, oh, there's no ghosts. Like, I never felt like when I was there that I was there because there were spirits.
It's like you and Ray Parker Jr., the only two. You know?
I was literally there because I was like, I felt bad for the dead people. And I was literally like, this is so sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to hang out with them because, like, it sucks. Like, they're just here and nobody's here with them and nobody's talking to them. And who knows if
this
you can
is like, you should got to write this into, like, an, you know, it's like an indie film.
Right?
Storyline is that
creepy.
Chick used to like sleep in fucking cemeteries.
Yeah, and but it wasn't even like a weird thing. It wasn't like I was the girl who like, you know, listened to like fucking like the Cranberries and like wore dark eyeliner and fucking laid in cemeteries. I was just like regular and was like, I'm just going to hang out.
Can you just back up a second? The thing that would make someone irregular wouldn't be the Cranberries eyeliner. It's the one the sleeping in
normal.
The cemetery, okay?
Normal person that slept in cemeteries.
Hey, you know. I don't know. This chick's over here, this fucking lady, three headphones down.
To,
this bitch is crazy.
If you want to get it, then
and she's like, I'm just fucking crashing out with some dead 2-year-old kid.
Y'all keep it down over there. I'm trying to lay up this blonde-headed kid.
I just have this weird feeling because obviously we never know what happens to us when we die. Obviously, no one knows that. But I have like this. I just have this weird feeling that like, what if like our body dies, but our consciousness is still there?
It's very possible.
And there's these people, and we just bury them underground. And they're like, hello. You guys just gonna leave me here?
Ugh.
No one's talking to me, and like we can't hear them, and they can hear us, and like who knows? You know what I mean? Like you lose your physical abilities.
Getting cremated.
You're being cremated.
Yeah,
you really?
Mm-hmm. I think.
Do you know your
too.
Body burned?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I don't want. Well, I don't know. I don't know why. I just feel like a connection to it.
Did I just make this podcast really dark?
No.
I just turned this into like.
Just, yeah, it just happened, Brittany.
I got back.
It did happen 45 minutes ago.
Up next on the Witch's
just
Brew
in case,
podcast.
Just in case there's a chance.
You guys turn into like a Witch's Brew podcast.
Just in case there's a chance I want to be cremated and thrown into like water and land and shit, just in case I can be, you know, come back again.
But then what if you can feel it, but you can't scream
you can't
or anything? You don't know.
I mean,
that.
What am I saying? Who the fuck knows?
Who knows?
I
can
don't
you
know.
Imagine?
No.
Well, right, I want to switch gears and get off the ghost because I'm going to sage the fuck out of this.
Am I taking too long?
No, you're the star
about?
Here.
Just going to
okay.
look up
yeah.
a good paranormal
the star?
On Yelp.
Well, oh my God. Shouldn't have said that, right?
Goes to my head.
We have mentioned several times that you're engaged.
Oh, gosh.
I do want to get into
Not
that.
Not after this podcast.
That's off my
Tommy's
going to
listen to this and dump me.
Yeah, so you're engaged.
Like, all right, psycho, you're out of here.
So we just took a quick break because we were all a little freaked out. Brittany, we had to get a little blood sugar in her. Rye,
yeah.
as you all know, has a very small bladder.
Rye shit himself three times already
three
since we've been here. Yeah,
did. And Brittany was like, "Am I like you've been saying the whole time? Am I a dark cloud? Do I carry a band?" So I grab my phone and I get a text from Kate and says, "Let me know when you're on your way home. Someone came to the door earlier around 9 p.m." Which is probably right where in the thick of fucking
thick
John
of
Fry's
John
bullshit.
Fry hanging mm-hmm. from the fucking barn.
And I missed it because Reed was still awake. Anyway, I was a little freaked out. And then I was like, oh, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, did you see my text? And I said, yeah. And I go, did you have the light on? Is everything fine? She said it was weird because the doorbell rang two or three times. Reed was pooping, so I didn't want to leave him alone down there. When I got out there, I saw a man leaving across the front yard and walking towards Nick's gate. That's our neighbor, and that gate is probably like 20
30 feet away from our front door. So I closed the curtain and went outside and called Nick's name, but no one was there. I didn't think it looked like Nick because he had a bigger build, but it probably was.
That's creepy.
I do not fucking
Dude, I just brought some fucking chaotic energy to you guys.
Oh, man.
The shit out of
Let this me world. Know if any crazy shit happens to you.
Oh.
If you guys go home and start having weird shit happen, let me know.
You mean besides the fucking John?
It's already
the John
happening.
Fry ghost that came to my house.
Can't wait for her to say he rattled the windows or some shit. I'm like, it's
oh
definitely
God,
John Fry. That
seriously.
Motherfucker followed you.
Yeah.
All right. So back to where we were headed. You're engaged. You're
yes.
engaged the second time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're engaged to Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
The drummer, former drummer. Well, he's still the drummer of Motley Crue. The
yeah.
former Motley Crue, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? How does
how,
that happen?
How long were they together, first of all?
Forever.
That's amazing.
They've been together for a really long time.
Were you a
time.
Fan as a kid?
I mean, I knew their music just because my mom listened to it, but I just never
really...
No, but you know, I knew Tommy from Methods of Mayhem because I liked Get Naked. I remember that video. I was like, that Get Naked. Get Naked. Mm-hmm. Come on, baby, make it hot with fucking, what's her name? Lil' Kim on the fucking Big Chicken. I loved that video. I used to watch that on MTV. I thought that was a sick video. So I knew him from that.
Gotcha.
But it's crazy that I used to watch
you knew
that.
You of him from
right,
that.
From that.
Yes.
But it was crazy that I used to watch that, and who knew one day I'm sitting in my living room in Pennsylvania watching that, and then I'd be engaged to him.
Yeah. How did crazy. You guys meet? How does that happen?
Online.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through social
he
media?
Messaged,
or?
Yeah, social media. He okay. messaged me. Mm-hmm.
He messaged you.
Yeah, and then we obviously messaged back, and we like started talking and...
Because I remember seeing the
really
picture
well.
Of you guys holding hands, and that was sort of your announcement that you were a couple.
I mean, we kind of just got together. We just kind of I fell for him right away. It was so weird because when I matched with him, all my girlfriends were like, "Yeah, you don't want to go out with that guy. He's trouble. All this stuff." And I was like, "No, I feel like he'd be so great." And like we were kind of like talking and back and forth, and we just kept never trying finding time to hang out because he lived in Calabasas, I lived in Hollywood. And then finally, he was playing Pride Fest in West Hollywood. He was like, I'm going to be there playing drums. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be there, too, because I was doing some social media for it.
So you said you connect, you connect, what did you say? Your girlfriend, you matched or whatever? So was this on a dating app or was this, because you just sort of ratted yourself out, I think. Was it an Instagram? This is a...
We just say how we met.
I think you kind of just
no, but you know, it was like a. It's like there's like a. I don't want to.
Whatever
say that.
You don't have.
Anyway,
to. Whatever
we connected.
Sorry, I paid attention.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh fuck, when I said. I was like, please let them be so freaked out by the ghost that they won't notice that.
All right.
Anyway,
so go ahead.
So I was, you know, hesitant, whatever. But then I was also like, I feel like. I would really get along with him. I don't know why. I just felt like, just from our text messages, he was
my
really,
mom said he's fucking cool.
He was really, really? Did she know
no,
him?
No, I'm talking
oh.
about you.
Oh. I was like, did your mom fuck
you
my
fiance? You want to know who my
I
mom
was like,
did loves?
Did your mom fuck my fiance?
Decided
to fucking kill
I doubt it. My mom, no offense to your fiance.
Loves Nikki Sixx.
We've just reconnected oh. after Nikki Sixx. Mick Mars is her friend. 25 years we've reconnected, and I'm learning so much about her. She loves Steven Tyler.
Oh, I love Steven Tyler,
oh,
too. And
loves
Tommy
him.
Loves Steven.
Yeah, Steven Tyler.
Steven's
great.
The best.
He is
yeah,
great.
He's
but
fucking
she just,
awesome.
She can't get enough of Steven Tyler.
He looks great. He's
and Bruno
69
Mars.
Years
Loving
old.
And elevating. He does look great.
He looks amazing.
I love that.
His
dude.
Girlfriend's like 28, and he's 69.
I mean, God bless
and people give
rockers.
Me and Tommy shit. I'm like, dude. Steven Tyler's 69 and she's 28. I'm 31. Tommy's 55.
31 and 55.
Everyone good. My age is a fuckboy, okay? I got a fucking date up. I always liked older guys. I always did. I just got along with them better.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like I'm 80 inside anyway, so it's actually a perfect match. I'm like fucking, I take a lot of naps, you guys. Like, I'm like, I can't go through a day without at least two naps.
Yeah, gotta get
I'm
your
fucking
naps.
Tired.
And if there's
man.
A cemetery nearby, woo! Look
I'm,
out.
I'm in for the night.
Anyway, so,
so you're at
we
this
meet
festival.
At, we meet at Pride Fest, and we immediately, like, I tap him on the shoulder because I see him. He turns around. He's so sweet. Gives me, like, the biggest smile. And we just connected right away, and he, like, held my hand and took me all around, and we hung out that night and just like got we just connected. It was perfect. We texted every day and started hanging out a lot. And I was always going over to his house. And then after like a couple of weeks, I just or maybe it was like a month or two. I think it was like a month. I ended up, you know, I was driving back and staying at his house almost every night. So he's like, just get rid of your place. You know, I mean, I had a friend staying at my place to watch it because I was like scared. My neighborhood wasn't super great. Mm-hmm. And my friend had stayed there and like totally destroyed the fucking place.
Really?
What do you mean?
Not destroyed it, but you know how some people are just not met? Yeah. Like, I'm very clean. Mm-hmm. I'm OCD, like meticulous clean. And I went over there one day to like get my mail and just go inside and see if I had any packages. And it was a fucking disaster. Just like clothes on the floor and cabinets open and it smelled terrible.
I never
like,
understood that, people that leave cabinets open.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That drives me nuts.
I'm like,
too,
what?
Man.
What about
shut the motherfucker.
Like,
you didn't find it open.
Dishes
shut.
Piled up in the sink and it was just like, I was just like, I got
John Fry.
John Fry might be just popping them back open. How hard is it just go like this?
How hard is it to just be like cabinet. A clean person?
I'm with you.
Is it that fucking
I'm
hard?
I'm super clean.
Like,
too.
I just don't
super
get people
clean.
Who are messy. Like, I don't get it. Like, if you take your clothes off and you throw them on the floor, really? Like, what's the hamper's too far away for you?
The only time I've ever done that is like.
Jay's all quiet. Jay's the guy who fucking.
Just letting you do you go for
I
a
get,
while.
Jay's
oh,
wife
I get
is
drunk
at home closing all the cabinets still. Oh, my God.
Rattling the windows.
I'm dead. Yeah, so then anyway, so we moved in right away, and his boys had just been, or just moving in with him too, because, you know, their mom was leasing her house and moving to France, and so his boys was going to be their first time living with him, and they have.
They've always lived with their mom.
Yeah, they've pretty much always lived with their mom, Pam Anderson.
Is their mom?
Yeah, is their mom, and so because they, he was always on tour, you know.
Does he only have the two boys?
Yeah, two.
Okay,
mm-hmm, yeah, and so they were moving in, and they're great. I mean, they're both handsome, and you know, one's an actor, and one makes music, and they're both really cool, and we all got along, and everything was fine, and. You know, then recent dramas, but whatever.
I mean, hey, that's life. But yeah. That's so cool. I mean, that's new. So many new things happening at one time.
It was
know?
Just a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's great though. I mean, the life was. I feel so lucky. He's the first person. I get a lot of shit from my relationship. People are like, you're a gold digger. I'm like, fucking, do you know how much money I made on Vine?
I was going
to
say,
what's up, girl?
All due respect, Brittany Furlan doesn't need that money.
I used to get paid $100,000 for a fucking 6-second video. Like,
did you really?
You think I'm stupid? You think I didn't save that shit? I don't need money from anybody. They're like, she's just trying to get fame and off of him. I'm like, bitch, I got more followers than him. What do I need fame for? Like, people are so, they'll attack me on
anything. Fame is gone
these
days.
Like, I do want to say that she was asking us early for like juice and shit, so. She is gold digging a little
bit. Do you guys got any juice? But it pisses me off because I get torn apart. Because, like, why would you, a 31-year-old girl, want to be with a 55-year-old guy? And the thing is that he doesn't seem 55. Like, he's very, like,
who cares
funny
if he does?
And youthful and
like
cool.
You were saying, you like to date older men. People have different comfortabilities with different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
some
I've
people
gone out
sleep
with,
in
like,
cemeteries. Other people fucking.
Other people don't.
Other people don't.
Everybody else.
I'm weird. And, like, he's weird, and we get along really, really well. He's the nicest person I've ever dated. I mean, I've lived with him. We've been living together for 10 months. When this comes out, probably be like 11 months at that point. And it's just been like great. Every day is great. I roll over and it feels like every day is Christmas morning. Like, I'm just so excited.
Hey, you don't need to prove your, you know, to anybody.
I know.
Fuck
it's
it.
So annoying, though. And I know I shouldn't read that stuff, but it's like I get tagged in it and like articles. I'm like, ugh, it's so fucking annoying how wrong people can be, you know? And you want to be like, no,
well,
you're
of
wrong.
Course you're going to be wrong when you don't know any, you don't know anything specific. You have no relationship outside of social media. So they're just going to like, everyone goes to snap judgment. Who
cares? I know.
Don't read it. Who cares?
It's so awful. I know, I gotta stop reading it. So anyway, yeah, but life is beautiful.
I was gonna
so
say you genuine. I was just about to say I've known you for a while. You genuinely seem happy.
I'm
so,
happy. I haven't been happy in so long, and I'm so happy. I'm so in love and so happy, and I never believed in like. I never really believed in, like, when I thought when people got married, I'm like, oh yeah, like you kind of like you love somebody, whatever. Like, I'd been engaged before. And then I, you know, gave the ring back and everything that didn't work out. But it wasn't like this. It was very, like, you know, I'd gotten engaged after like a month.
I was going to say, I didn't know that dude,
before.
But that dude just didn't seem like.
No,
he fit
and it was
you.
Just very, like, not the right, you know, and that's why literally, like, 2 weeks at, or like a month after we got engaged, I gave him the ring back. Because I was like, you know, and another sign was when he tried to put the ring on my finger, it didn't go on.
Really? I thought you were going to say another sign was he had this fucking Satan costume.
It was
upside down cross.
But that was like another thing was like I knew as soon as he tried to put the ring on my finger, it was too small. It was size too small. It wouldn't go on my finger. And I'm like a very, obviously, like after all the shit with the fucking spirits and shit, I'm like, if that's not a fucking sign, I don't know what is. Like if it's not, ring's not going on, it's trying to tell me something. So, you know, and I found out a bunch of weird, you know, he's a nice guy, but you know, just stuff later that you find out about people when you live with them and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just stuff I don't want to mess with.
But how long, you must have been, I mean, dating in LA, especially when you're a celebrity. You know, what was that like? Well, I know, but I felt bad trying to say something else.
You're like, especially when you're a viner.
When you're a viney.
When you're a little viney girl.
What was dating like back then?
Well, before Vine, it was chill. Like, I mean, I was with, I dated Josh Adam Myers, who's you guys love on here.
Bless you.
I dated him. He was great. I dated, before him, I dated a half Japanese guy named Shintaro, but he liked to be called Christian. And I had to break up with him because he had such a small wiener. But he was really handsome.
You're not
going to
believe this right now. Shintaro!
Christian!
Get your little dick ass out here, man.
I was just like, really? Your name's Shintaro? He's like, yes. I was like, well, that's crazy. But he looked like Johnny Depp. That's why I liked him. Oh, he was like, okay. Really? Because he's like half Asian, had those like really pretty almond eyes and didn't really look Asian, but his wiener was totally Asian.
How long were you guys together?
Who, me and Shintaro?
Yeah.
Not very long.
Yeah.
And then when I broke up with him,
not his dick. How long was the relationship?
Oh, no. No, that was short too. Everything was short in that. And then he got mad and he like tried to break all my paintings I used to paint, and he got freaked out and he like started karate chopping on my
Did he really?
I wasn't karate chopping him, but might as well have been.
I thought I would have karate chopped and kicked.
He kept trying to fuck up my paintings and I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that ended. Who else did I date? I dated, I've always been in long-term relationships.
Are you a serial relationship girl?
I feel like I don't want to say that, but like literally I lived in LA from 17, I'm 31. I have maybe had.
You've been here since you were 17? What brought you here at 17?
I was right out of.
For modeling?
Yeah. Well, no, acting. I wanted to act. Okay. I came right out of high school.
But your family didn't relocate here or anything?
No.
That's super young.
Yeah, no,
all
they
right,
didn't.
Go ahead.
They were like, good luck.
I just had to check
my
in
grandmother
on.
Used to call
good
me.
Luck.
My grandmother used to call me every day. She'd be like, come home. You don't know anybody. I was like, Grandma, I can't hear you. Gotta go. Like, so negative. Like, no support. But yeah, no. So yeah, I feel like out of all those years that I've been here, I've probably only been single for like a year, but not even all at once.
Yeah.
When you got all that Vine attention, were you getting just freaks hitting you up?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're funny. Like, yeah. I want to tickle you with my penis. Like all kinds of
crazy. That's what I'm saying. Every woman I know is like, you wouldn't believe
the
unsolicited
dick pics. If I open my DMs right now on Instagram, you guys would be like, what the fuck? The most common one is, are you ticklish? Like, guys have ticklish fetishes. They just like, I just want, I'm like, what the fuck? No.
And fully
like,
clothed. They just want to tickle
you. They just
want
to know where you're ticklish.
I'd let people pay me for that.
I mean, I have a girlfriend who guys are obsessed with her feet. So they'll pay her $800 for a used pair of her sneakers.
No.
And the stinkier, the better. So she just mails them. They PayPal her and she mails them.
I know another girl right now that is doing used panties.
Oh, yeah. You can do that too.
I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
Sending them. And they're the more soiled, the better.
The better. They want them like you shitting them. They're like, we love it. Let me just take those shit-filled panties. They're fucking disgusting.
I don't know about that.
Fucking rub the shit all over your dick.
That might be a different web.
Recycle, reuse.
I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, but actually,
used panties,
it's crazy.
Shoes,
before I got together with Tommy, I was going on dates with all these guys and like I just have gotten so picky. I had like a really horrible relationship right before Tommy.
Listen, let's not talk about Josh like that.
No, it's not Josh was years before.
Know,
oh my god,
years and years.
No, Josh is great. I had a really horrible relationship with the director before Tommy, who was just like the most misogynistic, horrible person, like just really bad. And I was really fucked up from that, and I was going on dates with like all these like rich dudes, and they would just be bragging about their car and their, you know, their house and like, look at this and this is how much this was, and I was so unimpressed. And what I loved about Tommy,
you got a ghost in the barn.
I know, right? I'm like, you ain't got
shit,
no ghost.
Man.
I'm out of here.
I'm
yeah. What I was so impressed about Tommy is he just wasn't like that. Like when I came over his house, he didn't give me a tour and be like, this is this and that's that and blah blah blah, and like try to shove his tongue down my throat. Like all these other dudes that I was going on dates with were so aggressive, and like if I rejected them, they were like crazy and mean. You know
really?
What I mean? Yes.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was like all of a sudden something changed. You know, because I'd been
used to get in their way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very,
they're like so
that.
Successful that they're like, no
right.
girl says no to
that's
me.
Right.
And I was like, I say
no,
no to
one
you.
Says
yeah,
no, to
no
them.
One.
That's
yeah,
right.
exactly. And like, I say no to you. Like, I'm not into you. I didn't like them. They were so stuffy and like.
What's like the weirdest, craziest, bad date you've been on?
Oh my God. You guys ready for this shit?
I'm no.
I don't know.
From you?
I don't know.
Okay. So it's me and John Fry. We went on a spirit date. No. Okay. So this is a fucking gnarly story. So. I was doing, I had come to LA. When I first got to LA, obviously, I didn't know anybody, and I was trying to make my way around town, trying to, you know, do acting,
making
whatever.
Making my way in the round.
It makes me sound like a prostitute, but I wasn't doing that. No, I was very, like, just struggling, trying to find my way. I was on Craigslist, like, every day, trying to find, like, you know, acting jobs. Yeah. It's the only place I knew to look, you know? It was Samuel French's fucking gift shop
every day. Samuel French bookshop.
Exactly. Yep. So I was just studying and reading and trying to meet people and figure it all out, and I landed a fit modeling job for a commercial website. Basically, they had like a bunch of different brands, and so fit modeling, I would wear the clothes. I was really tiny, so I would wear the clothes, and they would just take pictures, and my face wasn't even in it. It was just like closed down, whatever. It was fine, and so I got paid good money for that, and so I was, you know, but I wasn't like great money. You know, it was like $25 an hour, but for me, I was like, that's fine. I can survive. And, but still, like, it was just hard. And I was at the doctor just getting a regular checkup at Cedars, and I was coming down in the elevator, and there was a really good looking guy in the elevator with me who was a doctor, and we were looking at each other, and he goes, he's like, "You're really beautiful. What's your name?" And I was like, "Oh my God," because it was just us. And I was like, "I'm Brittany. Nice to meet you." And he's like, "My name's," I'm not going to say his name. And he hands me his card, and I look at his card, and it says cardiologist. And I was like, bingo! Like, you know, what's more happy, like, to have your marry a doctor, right? So I start having all these, like, romantic things go through my head. And he's like, "I'd love to take you to dinner. Call me." And I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. This guy's so handsome. He saves lives. He's smart. Like, I love it. Like, I'm so excited. And, you know, I didn't have time to really meet anybody at that point because I was fit modeling all day. And I didn't really, like, you know, I didn't really go out at night that much. And so I was so excited, right? So I call this guy and we go out for a date that Friday. And we were going to Chaya in Beverly Hills, which was a really nice restaurant. Really expensive. And he picks me up in his Porsche, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, so dope, right? So we get to the restaurant and he goes, "Order whatever you want. This is on me." And I was like, oh my God, yay. So he gets like all these bottles of wine and all this food, almost like one of everything on the menu. And we're just having a great time, great conversation. Everything's perfect, right? So the bill comes. And I look at him and I see him doing like the pat. Like patting, checking his pockets, checking his jacket, checking his pants. And he's doing like a pat down. I'm like, was everything okay? And he goes, "Oh, no, I think I forgot my wallet." And I said, "You forgot your wallet?"
Because I could put 25.
I was like, "Is that guy? I'm ready to do dishes, motherfucker. Like, I'm about to fucking soap up in this bitch. You know, you ever handle some dong before? I'm ready to fucking go down." I'm ready to cut some grease in this bitch, right?
Do you remember how much the bill was?
The bill was over $1,000, okay?
Shit.
And I'm telling you right now, my rent, you know, rent in L.A. is so expensive, and I was only working a couple hours a day, and I had this job. I had barely any money in my bank account. I just started this job. I had, like, nothing, right? So I'm just broke. And he hands me the bill and he goes, "Can you get it this time and I'll treat you next week?" And I remember looking at the bill and I was at a fucking heart attack. Because I had never, like, at that point, eaten at a restaurant, number one, this expensive.
Yeah. I hear
two,
it.
Like, fuck, I'm a broke girl, live out here by myself. I got to pay for everything myself, you know? Like, I didn't have health insurance. I had to buy the health insurance, buy my car insurance, everything, right? So I fucking take out my debit card and I'm like, I didn't even have a credit card. I had a debit card because I was like, I don't want to spend money I don't have. I've never been in debt my whole life. Like, I'm not spending money I don't have. So I put my debit card down. I was like, that's all the money in my account. I knew it. I was like, done. Go ahead. Swipes it, goes through. He's pretty drunk, okay? I get in the car with him, which is stupid. Don't ever do this, people. Don't get in cars with drunk drivers. So he's driving really shitty, but I make it home. And I was kind of, like, worried. And I genuinely believed him that he would, like, make it up to me. And we had such a good time. I was trying not to let the money thing ruin the date. And I was like, okay, well.
You're a trooper. Fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I mean, like,
I mean,
I'm kind of, like, whatever.
I don't know. If you were dialed in and this guy was
I
awesome,
was kind of dialed in. Like, we had such a long date. And he was so cool, right? You know, and he was handsome. And I was like, you know, all right, cool, whatever. So I said, you know, I said, be safe. I was like, just, you know, call me when you get home. I just want to make sure you got home okay. And he's like, yeah, of course. Like, totally drunk. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is totally wasted. I go up to my room. Half hour later, I get a phone call. And it's him. And he's on the phone. And he goes, oh, my God, you won't believe what happened. And I said, what happened? Oh, my God, are you okay? And he sounded, you know, trash and terrible. And he goes, I got pulled over. And I said, oh, my God, you got pulled over? Are you in jail? Like, what's going on? He goes, no. It's okay. I pulled out my wallet and showed them I was a doctor and they let me go.
No.
And I said, what'd you say?
His wallet.
And he said, I said, yeah, you said you pulled out your wallet and showed them you were a doctor? and they let you go. And then he got all quiet. And I said, what the fuck? You had your wallet on you the whole time? And he goes, okay, I didn't want to get into this, but I went through a divorce recently and my wife took pretty much everything I had. And now when I go on dates with girls to make sure they're not gold diggers, I make them pay for the first date.
At $1,000 a clip,
exactly.
Bro? How about $1.50?
And he's like, I want to make sure that they have their own money. I was like, bitch, you could have taken me to goddamn Arby's. I'll pay for you all day. Fucking roast beef sandwiches out the ass. I was so pissed. I was like, what kind of fucked up games?
I would have showed up at his job.
Oh. I said, what kind of fucked up games are you playing? This is fucked up. I was so pissed. I was like really upset. And he's like, I said, listen, you know where I live. You need to leave me half the check on my doorstep. Okay. Nope. Never did. He said he would. Never did. Never called me back. Never left me the check on my doorstep. I went and had another doctor's appointment at that hospital, and I fucking told every fucking person I ran into. I was like, that guy's a fucking piece of shit. I told my doctor. I told everybody. I was like, you guys have the, I'm sure you guys have the little doctor sit down talk in the, you know, the library or wherever you guys hang out, or the doctor's room, you
the
know.
The library.
Everybody fucking
out.
Has, y'all studying your medical books and shit. You spread this rumor that this guy is
that
the biggest piece of shit. And still to this day, I never heard from him again. He never left me the money. Nothing.
Man.
Yeah, because his wife took him to the cleaners. Isn't that fucked up?
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I think it goes through that shit.
Again, you know, $100, whatever.
Right.
First of all, dickhead,
dinner.
You came on to me.
That's
exactly.
Right.
You asked me out. I didn't fucking come on to you, and I didn't pick the restaurant.
That was just a scam. That was just all
and why,
scam.
When we got to the restaurant, are you going to go order whatever you want? And why are you going to go order 4 bottles of wine and everything on the appetizers and everything on the dinner
menu? Because he knows you're paying for it. He's got 20.
Exactly. He got everything.
Everything.
I was like, fuck you.
Sounds like a dude who was vindictive towards women because
I think
he was
mad.
Divorced.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got that. That was really fun. Okay. Great. Yeah, so that's my worst dating story.
That sucks.
Pretty bad, right?
That's nice of you to pony up. But you know what? Karma came back for you. You got that money back.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, through Vine. Yeah, I did.
Got 100 times that.
Oh,
100,000
yeah.
times.
You know what?
That.
I will tell you that.
No, 100 times.
No matter how much I struggled, I always knew. I was like, I'm going to do something. Like, you know, did you ever have that feeling where you were like, I'm not worried about me? You know, mm-hmm. No matter how bad it was at one point, I got fired from the modeling job. Oh, you want to talk about this? I got fired from the modeling job because I turned 23 and that was too old.
Whoa.
I end up getting fired from that job. And that's when I started trying to do stand up. And I was doing open mics at the Comedy Store and the Improv and all that shit. And I met Josh. And then Josh, I remember, this is how I met Josh. I went to a show, and it was a bringer show, and I had no idea. And it was in the main room at the Comedy Store, and Josh was up there, and I didn't think he was that funny. He was screaming a lot, because like that's what he did when he first started. He didn't have a lot of jokes. He just yelled a lot, and he got really red and sweaty. And so people were laughing, but I didn't think it was that funny. But he was up there, and I was like, oh, he must be one of the most successful comedians here, because he's on the main stage. And I didn't really know how it worked, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really know how it worked. I thought it was like a bringer. It was a bringer show, mm-hmm. I found out later. And so I go up to him after the show and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I thought he was really hot. And I was like, you're really handsome, whatever. And he was like, oh, thanks. And then like we started hanging out and then like we got really close and we moved in together.
Yeah, you did.
And we lived together for I think 2 or 3 years. And he was my boyfriend. And I remember it was me and him and Angelo Bowers.
Yes, it was.
Rest in peace. He was a very funny comedian. And Angelo lived with us. And Angelo
We've
slept on our couch.
Quite
you
a
knew
bit.
Angelo too, right?
I've only met him one time.
And
oh.
I told Josh this, and too, like, I had just come back from Maryland and I couldn't get a hold of him or anyone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I called you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
you're the one that broke all that terrible news to
me. It was really
bad. And I met you at the hospital. You
it
told
was
me.
So
yeah,
bad. I was the first one that they called. And Josh and I had just broken, you know, this was after 3 years. And I loved him and I loved Angelo. And, you know, Gerard Carmichael used to come let the dogs out for me. This is when we were all like little babies. Like, it was like crazy. Like, look at Gerard now. Like, this is insane. Like, it was so weird. And we used to go do open mics and John Shefsky and like everybody. It was just so crazy. And then when Josh and I broke up and I moved out a week later, and I remember Josh used to call me and be like, come back and all this stuff. And I felt so bad. It was really sad.
He's still going through it a little bit.
No, he's fine. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. No, he's not. He's in love. He met someone. And so I remember a week later, they got into that accident. Angelo died, and I was so and yeah. I was the one that the I was the emergency contact.
Yeah,
and we were broken up, and I went to the hospital, and I remember he was laying there, and it was so sad, and he kept saying, "Where's Ange?" He didn't even care about himself. All he did, the first thing he said to me was, "Where's Ange?" It was fucking heartbreaking. I knew Angelo was dead, but I couldn't say anything.
Right. Even on the floor above us,
it was awful. Angelo's mother called me. And she kept, I was the only person whose number she had, and she was calling me, and she said, "What's wrong? Is he okay? I'm on my way. I'm driving down."
Oh,
she had
my
six,
God.
She had a six-hour drive.
Yep.
And the cops told me I wasn't allowed to tell her over the phone that he had passed away, and so I knew he was dead, and I couldn't tell her. She goes, "Is he okay?" And I said, "He's still in surgery. I'm sorry." Like, I had to lie to her, and it was killing me. And, you know, cops said, you're not allowed to tell that until she gets here.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to make her, who knows if she'll get an accident or something herself.
And then they sent that poor woman right back home because his body was part of it. Now it's murder if you kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So they got hit. And the thing that's really awful was that I hope Josh got money out of that. But I remember I'd moved out of the place and I used to pay his car insurance for him. You know, he would give me some money and I'd pay it, or sometimes I would just pay it, you know, because, you know, he didn't know how, or he didn't want to be bothered with whatever. I'd mail it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the car insurance tried to say they didn't get the payment, and that made me so upset. So I don't even know how that worked out, if he ended up getting the money or not, but it was really fucked up.
Yeah, well.
It was awful. And so, yeah, that's
yeah,
like
I called you.
It was dark.
You were my second phone call, and I didn't want to call you about it because I just felt something was going on, and then you told me, and I was like, oh. But, look, to go out on a positive note, not that that's, you know.
It's life.
That's life. And it is, unfortunately, what it is.
I feel like he was such an icon, even though not a lot of people got to know him yet. And he would have been super fucking famous.
Absolutely.
He would have been everywhere.
He'd have been writing for everyone and on everything.
He already was writing for everyone.
Sarah Silverman grabbed him right away and was like, "You."
And like Whitney and Bobby Lee, everybody he was writing for. He was the best. Anyway,
Well, we're there, and I want to say this to you because you said I felt like you felt like you were going to do something. You did.
Hmm.
You used to sit there and fucking joke around and just hang out, and you went to be... I mean, whatever. You fucking went to be the number one person on a social media platform that had just been created. It's incredible.
It was fun. It was
really and you've fun. Maintained. I mean, you've maintained your success
kind
even
of.
After losing.
Oh, slightly.
Losing that whole format.
Well, it was
kind of
crazy.
Suck.
Like all the other people
that's
that
like,
were on
imagine
that.
If podcasting just went away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was like. But I mean, I'd left the app before it even, you know, ceased to exist just because it got to be so negative. People got really mean and they were like, "Kill yourself." Like if they didn't think something you did was funny, they were like, "Kill yourself. You deserve to die." And then the next day you do something really funny and they'd be like, "You're great." Like it's just like, it was so like awful. I was like, this is fucking
it's
with
an
my
abusive
head.
Relationship.
I gotta get off of here. I think the only thing that bothers me the most is now that everyone's like, when I, you know, with me and Tommy getting engaged, everyone's like, Tommy Lee engaged to Vine Star, Brittany Ferland. I'm like, really? Vine Star?
That.
Like that's so awful. Like I've done. So much. I guess I'm well most known for that, but it's like I've just been around for so long that I'm like, that's such a shitty label to give someone, but I guess that's going to be me for the rest of my life.
Well, no, it won't be.
We'll see.
You won't be defined by that forever.
Yeah. I'm like, what are we going to do like 50 years from now? Vine Star, really? Vine Star passes away. All right.
You won't have any control of that.
My grave just says Vine Star. It doesn't even say my name.
Buried next to 2-year-old boy she laid next to at 12.
Oh my God!
Bought a plot there.
Anyway, this was really
this
fun,
was awesome.
You guys.
This was awesome. Thank you so fucking much for coming on. This is long overdue. Hey, great! You're one of our longest episodes. As a matter of fact, turns out. So thank
you. Don't lose any viewers.
We don't have
viewers. I mean listeners. That's what I meant to say.
Will you please one more time your social media, your movies, whatever you
okay,
want.
Just at Brittany Furlan, BrittannyFurlan. Brittany Furlan on all social media apps. The movie at South By right now is The Unicorn, directed by Robert Schwartzman, which is going to be really funny and can't wait till it comes out. I just shot a movie called Spy Intervention, which will probably be coming out next year, which is really great. It has Blake Anderson from Workaholics and Poppy De Levine from The Crown and a bunch of cool people. I'm in that. And then at Tribeca right now, An American Meme is a movie
love
that
it.
I did.
I love it.
Cool.
I love you. You're killing it.
Yay! Yeah.
This is great. Thank you for
coming on. Thanks for having me, guys. Now I got to drive back to Calabasas. Yes.
Boom. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.